Craig Lipinski here, coming at you with episode 65 of the TV and Lust Video Game Podcast for TVandLust.net. Today, we have what's quickly becoming the usual bunch of guys. We have Seth Gastelum.
Thanks for having me, Craig. Do you like my new radio voice?
I could do some work. And we also have Chris Dunn.
I'm glad to be here, Craig. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you.
Yeah. It doesn't.
Yeah, whatever.
I know.
Fuck this.
Why don't you pay me? Where are the chicks?
I'm browsing porn sites right now. What's going on?
The VGAs were this week.
The VGAs were.
Oh man,
this,
I could not wait.
They were yesterday.
They were yesterday. Doesn't know people listen to these podcasts on the road sometimes. So, for us, they were last night. And this is. This is how uneventful my week was, where we're just sort of launching into the VGAs here.
Yep, let's do that.
Mm-hmm. We're all in agreement. Our lives are boring VGAs.
Yep.
I don't want to spend too much time talking about the VGAs themselves, because I'm pretty sure we talked about them quite a bit last year. I wrote an article about them last year as well, and my opinion really hasn't changed. I think it's unfortunate that our most popular award show. The award show that is called the Video Game Awards. Like, there's nothing, unless you pull like a real Ghostbusters and call something else the Real Video Game Awards, there's nowhere else to go. So, you know, the thing that we call the Video Game Awards, the most popular award show, is as like disgusting as what we
I tuned in the middle of it. I got it confused with Family Double Dare.
Seriously. I think I watched the same point you did, Seth. And
yeah, I think
it's
so.
Not great.
But and someone on Twitter, Kim, a listener of ours, you know, he asked me like, why do you feel this is wrong? Like, I've expressed this before, and I don't want to dwell on it too much, but it's just because they're so crass and classless, and not only do the organizers feel like this is the sort of humor that quote unquote gamers get, it's also unfortunate that like. This is how we look to the world. Like, people get mad when, like, Fox News, like, totally, like, messes up and says something really stupid about video games. And, you know, to be fair, Fox News should actually research shit, or any news organization. I'm not going to pick on – it's usually Fox, but it could be anyone. They should research their shit because, that's the whole point of being a news outlet. But the problem is, like, this is how we come off to other people. The fucking skeleton of Charlie Sheen, like, shambles on stage and makes misogynist jokes – you know, meanwhile, he's doing lines backstage, and fucking, then some guy comes out and teabags someone else, and, you know, and all the while, you know, Bulletstorm didn't even get nominated for Best Shooter, so that whole fucking segment was just garbage. It was just garbage.
I actually had to turn it off for the second time once they, like, announced Charlie Sheen was coming out.
That's what
Charlie
I turned
Sheen
it off
Charlie Sheen coming out for Best Shooter? I was like, no.
I'm done.
But my problem is, like, I watched... probably 15 minutes total, like 10 minutes and then 5 minutes. I came back out of morbid curiosity. And there were no awards. I saw zero awards presented in 15. Why are they the Video Game Awards?
Right. Well, because it's all about commercialism. Like, this is the problem. It's just the crass humor, the commercialism. They announced, like, it was something like 10 awards via montage.
Yeah, they battled them off all in a row.
Yeah, boom, 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 boom. And then it's like, what just happened? And then Kevin Jonas is like, was that Kevin Jonas? He's like on stage for like... longer than they had, like, 10 whole awards.
So I missed the minute where they gave out the awards.
Yeah.
I guess,
and,
out of
like,
the two-hour
like,
program.
Tara Strong and Mark Hamill, they were like, what happened? They put them in, like, in the bleachers. They were nominated for best, like, voice actor, and they put them in the bleachers, and then, like, their award wasn't even put up on stage, and... They didn't even announce the nominees or anything like that. Like, if you get nominated, like, isn't that sort of recognition in and of itself, even if you don't win? So I don't understand, like, why they can't say, like, Mark Hamill, even if Mark Hamill doesn't win.
See, I wouldn't have – I think I'd have less of a problem if they called this, like, the really stupid video game skits and trailer show.
Right. If they made it into – if they actually called it what it is, I'd be fine with that. And I'm perfectly okay with people liking it. Like, if you like this stupid shit, that's fine. I like stupid shit, too. I ain't going to fault no one for liking stupid shit. No, that would be pretty hypocritical of me. But, I mean, I think it's important to understand, like, why I think overall this hurts this hobby. You know, it hurts – I think it hurts us because, I don't know, looking at the outside world, like, it just – I don't know. I feel like it's pandering when you have, like, some guy doing it, like, physically mocking, like, putting his testicles on another guy's face. Like, that's just, it feels like this is, I feel like the outsider looking in when something like that is. I'm like, really? Like, this is what's happening. But then when you really, when someone, like, who's really on the outside sees that, like, that's, they're going to think, like, ooh, okay, so that's video games.
Those gamers, huh?
Yeah. And then Jeff Keighley, like, tweeted, like, oh, this award show isn't for the people who know all games. Who's it fucking for? You call the Video Game Awards. If it's not for people who know video games, who's it for? What kind of audience are you trying to reach on one when you have Charlie Sheen on the same stage as Shigeru Miyamoto? How does that... Who are you talking to?
Spike. Audience.
Yeah.
Spike TV.
So, like I said, I don't want to dwell on it too much, but there are problems with this. This, you know what, now that they have the audience, they could take this, Jeff Keighley could take this opportunity to make this something a little more worthwhile. It doesn't have to be, there people have to come in wearing tuxedos and shit. It doesn't have to be, like, classy, but it could be dressed up a little bit and pay a little more respect to the games. You know, because I feel like when you say... And the people making them, instead of, like, Charlie Sheen. What the fuck does Charlie Sheen have anything to do with video games? Anything. Has he ever been in a... There's never been a 2.5 men video game, Charlie Sheen. So, I think, you know, there could be... It would be a lot better if the show paid more respect to the audience, to the games themselves, to the people who make the games, and not random, like, B-list celebrities. And then trailers. Like, people watch... Like, the only reason I think to watch it for the trailers, and you can watch those later anyway... I mean, yeah. But if the most important, the biggest reason why you're watching a show that reflects on the past year is for footage of games to come in the next year, that award show is doing something fucking wrong.
See, it's just like, make it a preview show, like 2012 previews or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just have a real problem with it being called the Video Game Awards.
And I do too. I do too. You know, I have no problem with it existing. I have no problem with a little bit of silliness. But I feel like we do have some a little more thoughtful. More than, you know, it was like GDC and stuff. But no one cares about GDC. People don't even pay attention to it, unfortunately. You know? And I think that... and I think it's really weird having an award show before the year's even over. Like, people are like, oh, there's nothing coming out. Well, nothing you know about. Because you're probably one of the dude bros that the show appeals to. But no, stuff comes out. And is it usually stuff that's going to get nominated? Probably not. But that sort of irks me that it doesn't even cross people's minds to be, like, nominated. Like, oh, whatever. I mean, if it comes out after Call of Duty, who cares? And, like, that's the sort of mentality that's there.
So do they just, like, skip any game that comes out in December? Like, next year?
It's
like an 11-month award show?
Sometimes it feels like it's less than 11 months, because sometimes they don't even, like, really recognize games that come out early in the year. It's all, like, the fall stuff. Not That's always. Weird. I mean, there's you know, some exception to that, of course. But, you know, it's a very narrow show. And it's like you can always call the nominees. And, of course, people can make the argument, well, maybe those are the best games. Maybe they are. But, like, when I can sit there and I go, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, Battlefield. Before I even watch the fucking show, I know what's going to be nominated. I think you can make more of an effort to... sort of branch out and find games that are also worthwhile that aren't like these big, you know, I don't know, big name games. So I think, then you run the risk of like losing the audience. Cause like, that's what the Oscars, like Oscars were like, oh my God, we're going to lose the audience. So like, that's why they did things like, they didn't really change like the process, but they changed like best movie of the year is like, you know, 10 nominations now. So they can squeeze in, let's throw the popular movies a bone, you know? Because, honestly, like, most, like, generic audiences don't watch the kinds of things that win some of these awards. And, you know, I don't know how to phrase this without sounding like a dick, but that's a good thing, maybe? Or maybe, like, the general audience should, you know, make an effort to scratch the surface.
Well, I always like them because, like, a lot of times they show movies that you haven't heard of and go like, oh, maybe I should check that out.
See, that would be my other point. Like, I think that would be awesome if the VGAs did that. Like, it's some weird game you've never heard of gets nominated. I mean, even if it just gets nominated, that can draw attention to it. Like, that's a good thing. Like, I wouldn't say nominate a weird game just because it's weird, but nominate a good one because there are plenty of, like, unknown good games that deserve to be nominated. And then people go, oh my God, let me go check that game out. But then, but the problem is with this kind of audience that we have, and especially the kind of audience that draws in the VGAs, I don't want to paint everyone too broad of a brush, of course, but, you know, they're going to look and they go, what's this gay shit?
Well, let's all watch again next year and complain again.
Yeah. You know, I said I didn't want to dwell on it. Of course, I did talk about it. But that is the reason why I find it frustrating. It's not that it exists. It's just that there's so much leverage behind it. And it's sort of like a metaphor for video games in general. You have like a Battlefield 3 commercial with 99 problems. What the fuck is that? That makes me sick. That commercial just it actually makes
me feel uncomfortable. The first time I saw that commercial, I was like, what does this song have to do with this game?
It made that commercial, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not trying to like make this sound overblown, but it really made me feel uncomfortable when I saw that commercial.
And why would you even pick a song where you have to like censor it every like 5 seconds?
Yep, this is true. But that's why I don't like the VGAs. And but the trailers are cool. Let's talk about the trailers. Talk a little bit about those.
I know Chris probably wants to talk about that Spider-Man trailer.
I didn't catch that one. Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Spider-Man trailer?
There's not much to say about it. It's, you know.
There's not much to say about any of these trailers.
Yeah, none of them really show much gameplay or anything. You know, it's all pre-rendered cutscenes and all that. Right. You know, you see Spider-Man swinging around a giant robot, you know. It looks cool,
like,
but
it's a video game.
Yeah, like, that's like what I played in the first Spider-Man movie game 10 years ago, you know. That's
awesome. You just see Spider-Man swinging around a robot.
I think he, like, yeah. Rips off part of the robot and shoves it into another part of the robot.
Did he do that?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm confusing it with the Metal Gear Rising trailer.
That was the only one that really, like, struck a chord with me because it was stylish, it was cool, and I think it was the only one that actually included gameplay.
Maybe.
I mean, it was very light gameplay.
Like, hours before the show, anyway.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was very cinematic-looking gameplay, but I'm pretty sure that the hacking and slashing was gameplay.
Like, most of the impressions I've read from this game are people saying it looks, like, completely awful, and I think it looks awesome as hell.
Really? Did people really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it looks awesome, from what, like, we've seen of it, which is very little, to be fair. But that very little I'm interested in. And, of course, in the interest of, you know, discussing the news aspect of it, Platinum Games is developing it. They denied the rumor, like, 2 months ago or whatever, but Platinum Games is working on Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Revengeance.
Maybe they're not lying, because Platinum Games wasn't working on Metal Gear Solid Rising.
Yeah. Or Metal Gear Rising, whatever it's called, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, it's Metal Gear, they dropped the Solid. And
yeah, they did.
I guess they dropped the whole, like, original concept of the game, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was originally supposed to, like, take place between Metal Gear Solid 2 and 4, and now I guess it takes place after 4, and they rewrote the script and everything.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard all that.
Yeah, me neither. Yep. Okay, well, that's cool, too. But no, that looks pretty good. I'm excited for that. I like Platinum Games, so, and this is an action game, so I don't think there's any way to really be let down by this. And,
I don't think so.
I thought the trailer was pretty exciting.
I mean, like, I saw Raiden running on, like, the ceiling in a subway station thing above a train. It looks awesome. Awesome.
Yep.
That's the kind of stupid shit I like in my video games.
Me too. I'm all for stupid shit. What else we have? We had Last of Us, which is being developed by Naughty Dog. And there was a lot of hype behind this trailer. And there's a lot of hype after this trailer. And I will say that I think the trailer was really well done. I liked it a lot. But did I like it as a video game trailer? Fuck no. And because there's no video game in it whatsoever. And this is getting frustrating that this is what's used now. Like, video game trailers have nothing to do with video games. I mean, our video games are starting to have very little to do with video games. It's all QuickTime events and cutscenes and shit.
Yeah. Dude, I don't think, like, video game trailers and commercials have had anything to do with video games since, like, the PlayStation era.
Right. So right.
I remember that Final Fantasy VII commercial that
I mean, this has basically started since the advent of, like, optical media, when people just cram in movies. They wanted to make games more like movies. That's what happened. I mean, is this necessarily a bad thing? Like, it's not a good thing, but I don't know if I call it a bad thing. The problem is, like, what does that say about us? Maybe not us here, but us in general, that we get excited over a video game trailer that has nothing to do with a video game.
Uh, I think they're good for setting a tone for the game, but you really get no idea what the gameplay is like.
Right. But yeah. The problem is people don't even care. Like, I think a lot of people just don't even care what the video game is like.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's... I mean, hype is not something to be dismissed. Hype can be fun. I very rarely get hype these days because there's always games coming out. I don't really have time to sit there and salivate over a game a year before it comes out because I have so much to play right now. But I'm not gonna dismiss hype completely. But I think it's weird that we get excited over gaming trailers that have nothing to do with games. It's just weird. It's
weird. So how long into the game do you think before the dad dies?
So are they ripping off the road or not?
I don't know. I have
we'll base
no idea.
It on that.
Like, I was just watching them, like, who do you play as in that game? I don't even know.
I don't know. How does the game play?
Who knows?
Like, it's about exploration and survival. I think that could be interesting, but I don't know. I'm sort of speculating.
Boo. I'm going to say this, though. You definitely kill zombies, probably.
Yeah, fungus head zombies. I think you probably spend more time running from them. I mean, the trailers seem to indicate that bullets were a precious commodity.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I assume
there's blunt objects. Swing a shovel at somebody.
And that little girl was kind of badass.
Yeah, that was Ellen Page.
Oh, was
we
it?
All know it. No, I mean not like literally, but
they did look like her though.
I don't know. I didn't get that feeling, but I guess I can understand. Like, more grown up than she really is. Yeah, no, I get that. I don't know. It looks cool, but I would like to know more.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I keep losing my words because there's someone in my hallway who's talking.
Oh, Craig. Passive aggressive much?
I don't even think they noticed. But, what other trailers we got here? We got Alan Wake. What'd you guys think of that?
I think he's dressed like Ray Romano now.
Deborah!
Where are the flashlights? Deborah! Where's Robert? He's a monster now. But, no, seriously, he's like dressed like Ray Romano. Like, I was watching, I was like, oh, this is funny.
I sort of got the feeling, like, I was reminded of, like, grunge, like, 90s era grunge. Like, ugh, what was me? I'm going to listen to Nirvana.
Now, wait, I'd never finished the first Alan Wake. Was there, like, evil Alan Wake in the first one?
Well, there was Mr. Scratch, so, kinda, but I don't know.
They stole that from The Dark Path from Stephen King.
The whole thing is inspired by like Stephen King.
Yeah, I don't think they hid that.
I think that was
the point.
I think it's homage, really. Honestly, I think it's
So it's like you're playing as Stephen King. Oh, that's why it takes place in Maine. It's all making sense now.
Herp derp. That's why you play as a writer. He writes about
it's
horror.
Just Stephen King, the game. Oh God.
When did he get hit by a car? When does he go to the Dark Tower?
And then finishes the Dark Tower and nobody likes the ending or something.
But, you know, I actually, maybe that trailer actually showed gameplay as well.
Yes, it did.
And so that's good. Like, you can make a cinematic trailer that includes gameplay if you're smart enough. But, no, I'm interested. I'm kind of disappointed it's not getting, like, the full, like, sequel treatment. It's just like, ugh, put it on Xbox Live Arcade.
Hey, might, I don't know. It's probably cheaper that way for them.
It probably is.
Microsoft probably went to them and went, look, guys, your game sold like ass. I don't know. You could put out a new one on Xbox.
And then they went to Microsoft and said, hey, look, it was released on the same day as Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, that was good thinking.
Well, that wasn't their fault.
It wasn't their fault.
But... Red Dead Redemption, like, Rockstar was like, yeah, Red Dead Redemption on this day. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Can't compete with Red or with Rockstar.
What's that?
I said people just can't compete with Rockstar.
No, they can't. Even
it's like it's like Dragon Quest in Japan.
Yeah.
Everybody else should like not release any games for a 2-week period or something.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Because then I won't have anything to play for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'm sure you don't have, like, a huge backlog anyway, Craig.
No, yeah. I do. Nah.
Don't we all?
It's not that good of a joke.
Yeah. That's why you did your own rim shot.
Yeah, I know. I had to do a rim shot for myself. I had to remind you that it was indeed a joke. Epic is working on Fortnite, another trailer that really had no gameplay and really don't really... I don't know. Is it Tower Defense? I don't really know.
I didn't see this one.
I didn't see it either.
It was sort of Team Fortress 2 looking. It was very stylized, very cartoonish, which is, you know, cool that they're trying something different. I mean, it's still... It's different, but it's also sort of safe because it's a art style that someone else already did and made a lot of money off of. As people are comparing it to Minecraft, but, I mean, I don't know. Like, they seem to... In the trailer, which I'm pretty sure is pre-rendered, you know, these people collect materials and they erect a structure so they can defend themselves from... like zombies and ghosts and shit that attack at night. So you get to build a fort and defend yourself at night. Mm-hmm. Fortnite, yeah. It looked like neat. If that's the premise, is that you have to find materials to build a structure to survive at night, and then it becomes sort of like the horde mode or whatever. I don't know. Could be neat. I like the idea. But don't know, because trailer include gameplay, so.
But, did it look awesome, Craig? Did the trailer look, was it cinematic?
Not really.
Oh, well, now I fucking know.
I think it just sort of got you interested. I mean, that's all it was designed to do, was to generate buzz. Which is okay, like I said, I'm not going to be dismissive of that, it's just, I play games, I don't play buzz, so...
You're doing it wrong.
I guess. I am.
Isn't there a game called Buzz?
Yep, it's a quiz game.
Oh, yeah.
I don't play that either, so there you go.
I think I played it once. At my mom's house.
I have not.
Oh, that is pretty good. And then we had a Transformers trailer, which it's you know what? They're using the Gears of War engine, so might as well use the Gears of War approach to commercial to trailer making.
The slow, sad song with action going on. That was funny.
You know what, though? Maybe because the trends... I don't... Actually, if I had to put them next to each other, I'd probably say I enjoy Gears of War more than I enjoy Transformers. I mean, even if we just look at it from the perspective of, like, the games. Like, the Gears of War... Like, was it the Transformers? Was it War for Cybertron or whatever? It was basically Gears of War, but not nearly as good. And, if I put them next to each other, I'd probably prefer Gears of War. But I think almost that I... almost kind of like the Transformers trailer, whereas the Gears of War trailer, I'm like, whatever, it's another one of these. Maybe all because there's a more stark contrast between, like, good and evil in the Transformers. Like, it was more climactic, like, I'm Megatron, and I'm clearly bad, and I'm Optimus Prime, and I'm clearly good, and we're gonna fight each other. And maybe because it was just so blatantly good versus evil, rather than just some dudes running through, like, a supermarket and shooting at things with this kinetic camera work that I can't even follow.
Correct. The important thing is, why was there a dinosaur on Cybertron?
I don't know. I don't. Why do they need
Grimlock
cars?
And these the Dinobots like go to Earth.
Why,
like,
are they driving? Why would you drive?
I don't know. I mean, they built those roads. Might as well use them. None of them have like rails or anything, though. They don't look very safe to me.
Yeah. No, me neither. But no, but they drive.
I don't get why there's a
dinosaur.
The whole
thing is weird.
Cybertron.
I was playing the first game. There's like no ammo. Anywhere in the first... I don't even understand. This planet's made of fucking metal, populated by giant fucking robots with guns. Why is there no bullets in there?
They're a peaceful planet.
Yeah.
They have no weapons.
So, hopefully that sticks. And the difficulty was designed to accommodate both single player and co-op at the same time. I don't think it's scaled or adjusted in any way. So it was a little more difficult than it needed to be in solo, and a little too easy than it needed to be when you had extra people. Like, hopefully they can, like, it can't be that hard to adjust that other games do it, so would be nice if they tried that next time. But anyway, I mean, Constructicons or dinosaurs or whatever, there's all kinds of shit going on in this trailer, so. Which also featured no gameplay, so. There you go. There are your games. That have no gameplay.
So we had Alan Wake and...
Metal Gear?
What was the other one? Metal Gear with gameplay.
Mm. Yep.
Are those all the trailers? I mean, like I said, I've...
No, there were... I think there were more trailers. I think... I can't think of any other ones that are worth discussing. Those are the ones I actually wrote down.
What is this Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD? Like, when Tony Hawk came out to, like, present Spider-Man trailer, they were like, Star of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD? Is that, like, a remake of the first game, or what?
It's like, a greatest hits, kind of like...
Yeah, it's got levels from the first two, I think.
Yep.
Wasn't that, like, the Xbox game, Tony Hawk 2X or whatever?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Except this one's in HD, and you can download it from the interwebs.
Oh, damn.
I still stand by the fact that I would love to see a Tony Hawk... I mean, just port Tony Hawk 3. Like, I don't even fucking care. And put it on the 3DS, because I think the 3D would be awesome, you know, when you're getting air and, you know, having a sense of depth and speed. I think that would
be really
cool.
Are they adding manuals to the Tony Hawk 1 levels?
I would think so. I mean, the warehouse was in Tony Hawk 2, wasn't it? Wasn't that an unlockable level or something? So, and I'm sure you can manual through that. Not that you can't get every single tape in the warehouse in 1 2-minute run anyway. But that was kind of cool in that trailer, seeing, like, the warehouse.
I didn't see the trailer.
I think it's pretty much, like, all pre-rendered, like, CG. Like, it wasn't gameplay. But, I mean, to people like us, I mean, the warehouse is pretty iconic. I mean, that's, everyone knows the warehouse level, so.
Do they still have the videos playing on screens?
What? I don't think the warehouse level had that. I think other levels did.
Trying to think. I think it might have on along one of the walls.
Oh, maybe then. I don't remember. I don't think so. But it's been a while. It has been a while.
I just hope they still have Spider-Man as an unlockable character.
Spider-Man, that was awesome.
That was awesome, actually. Once I unlocked him, that's all I play with him.
What happened to that franchise, man? I know Activision was milking it, and that's probably the biggest problem. But, you know, if you've already committed to milking a franchise, this is why you shouldn't milk a franchise. But when you've already committed to it, like, you're between a rock and a hard place. If you stay too true to form, people are going to play, this franchise is going nowhere. But then when, like, you change things, it's too different. Like, you can't win. That is why you shouldn't milk a franchise. Yearly updates.
Plus, I think they just changed it for the worse. It, like, turned into Jackass, dude. It was like Jackass the game.
Yeah, well, that was mostly Underground and Underground 2. Underground 2,
yes.
Especially, and I don't like that one either. I liked Underground 1. It was interesting to take much more, like, a narrative-driven approach, because it was still Tony Hawk. But, yeah, Underground 2 was gross. But then they tried to change up. They did do, like Project 8 and stuff. They had, like, those realistic, like, board movements. Like, it would zoom in on your board, and, like, you'd kick it around. It was really dumb. Because no one played Tony Hawk for the realism. I played Tony Hawk so I could fucking, like, skate through a fucking mall. Like, it wasn't... Yeah. it wasn't realistic. It was never meant to be. So, I mean, Tony Hawk's was an American Wasteland. Was okay. It was pretty much it was very similar to the older ones, but I don't know. I think they try too hard to be zany. I don't know. I don't know how you can fix Tony Hawk, but a compilation is a good place to start.
Just go back to, like, arcadey levels. That's, I don't know. Like, just like an expansion. If they added, like, new levels to this Tony Hawk HD that were, like, similar to the old ones, I'd be happy.
Do you like the time limit, or do you prefer something like 4 that has, like, an open world and imposes the time limit once you choose a goal?
I don't like the open world. I like the smaller levels, the more concentrated levels, but, like, time limit optional. I don't care either way.
Mm.
Okay. Like, for runs, I think the time limit's really good.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I liked, I think Tony Hawk 3 might be my favorite. I go back when it would be, like, Tony Hawk 3 and, like, even, like, Underground, which is weird because no one likes Underground, but I love it.
The first two are easily my favorite.
Yeah. Nah, not for me. I mean, I love them, right? And I still love them. But I think that they're a little too simple. I think 3 strikes that right balance between, you know, having a little more depth without being overly complicated.
It just wasn't too big on a lot of the levels in 3, I think.
No.
Yeah. I haven't played any since 3, and I think 2 is probably my favorite.
That's cool. I can respect that.
Like, I could just skate the school level in 2 for hours and hours.
Yeah, no, the school level's good. The school level is good. No, that is true. So I guess that's about it, unless you guys have anything you'd like to add about the VGAs, your thoughts on them, or thoughts on the trailers.
My mom always said if I didn't have anything nice to say.
I think Craig said it all.
Yeah. I spent a long time. I spent too longer than I wanted to talking about them. But you know, the best bet is like if you're like me and you don't like them. Just, I mean, if you really feel compelled to watch them, don't talk about them. Like when you, even when you bitch about them on Twitter, like they won. Like that's what they want. They don't care that you're trashing them. You watched it. You said VGA on Twitter. That's what they care about. That's it. You gave them exactly what they wanted. And if you do like them, then watch them and tweet about them. Like, that's fine. But I see more bitching than I see adoration. And, you know, don't. I think I tweeted twice about the VGAs. I'm like, that's it. Done. Don't need anything else. There's nothing else left to say. We do have a little bit more news in addition to the VGAs here. Nintendo pushed an update to the 3DS. We got all kinds of shit associated with this update. Like, it was a really good update. I mean, the 3DS, like, firmware could still use a few tweaks, but I'm pretty happy with the things that they're doing. I'm happy that, I'm happy with 3D video recording. I'm happy with, the new, like, social game stuff, like Find Me 2 and new puzzles and stuff. And I think if they can add, like, more Find Me stuff and more puzzles, like, maybe once a year. Like, nothing too much. Maybe one or two new puzzles, a little more, you know, that would be cool.
Have you tried out the 3D video recording? Have either of you? I haven't messed with it.
I've messed with it a little bit. I don't really... I didn't, like, keep it or anything. I just fucked around with it.
How's it look?
It looks like grainy 3D video. That's the camera's not awesome. So.
So it sort of looks like those streaming videos that Nintendo puts out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not awesome. But it's there, and it's kind of neat. I mean, it's not terrible quality, but it's not very good quality. There's also now, like, a QR function right in the camera, which is kind of cool. You can just take a picture of a QR code, and the browser takes you to that website. That's pretty neat.
Nice.
What else did they change?
They added some stuff to the eShop. You can queue games up now.
Yep.
So that should be helpful when GBA games finally come out.
Right, yeah.
And I heard you can store your credit card now.
You can.
I stored it.
Me too, because you have to put in an access code.
Oh, really?
Yep, so you don't have to type in your information again, but you just punch in either a 4 or 8-digit code, and then it goes through, and that is awesome.
And if you get your password wrong 3 times in a row, it just deletes all your information out of the 3DS, so that way nobody could, like, steal it.
That's such an elegant system. Why isn't no one else thought
of that? Yeah, that works really well.
You know, Nintendo comes up with some really, like, they don't have it on the 3DS, but they have it on the Wii, like, gifting. Awesome. Like, the 3DS has, like, the eShop has, like, a wish list. Every digital, like, store should have a wish list. Not because I want to share, like, here's my wish list, buy me some, because I want to keep track of all the garbage I want. And that's why I love wish list functions. That should be, like, mandatory. Why is that not a thing anywhere else?
Craig, I'm just picturing your, like, Amazon wish list being gigantic.
It's a couple hundred things. I think it's a couple hundred things.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Recently, I started organizing. I had to organize. I'm like, okay, books, you know, games, pre-order, upcoming games to pre-order. Like, yeah. So, it's pretty big. But nah, like being able, I like going through like the eShop and thinking like, okay, well, I don't have any money like right now, and I don't feel like adding any. But you know, I kind of want this game later. You know, just add it to wish list. So that's a great feature. That was already there though. That wasn't part of this update. But the queuing things that Chris pointed out is awesome. Like, you know, it's not like background downloading, which is, you know, which would be great. But I mean, I'm willing to give a few concessions to it being, you know, a 3DS and not a computer. But what this can do is you can queue them up, and then when you put your 3DS to sleep and it's still on your wireless network, it'll just start pulling that stuff.
Oh, nice.
Is what it does. So that's awesome. But, I mean, the friends list was revamped with, I mean, it was revamped with Super Mario 3D Land, but it's also pushed out with this update if you didn't play that game and install the update. So the friends list is a bit different. You can join game. So that's pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad that they're committing themselves to these things. And then, you know, of course, we're starting to get new original eShop content, which is really well done. Like, their eShop content is, so far, the two games, Freaky Forms and Pushmo, have been really awesome. And I have high hopes for, was it Rolling Western, I think it's called? And then that other one, the Samurai one. Those both look good, too. So I think Nintendo's getting it, which is
weird. I think so. They just need to, like, advertise these games more, though, I think.
Yeah, they do need to push them. Chris pointed this out in the email he sent to us, because they need to advertise this. Your coins that you earn through, like, Club Nintendo, you can use those now to purchase downloadable games.
I'm so getting Fluidity.
That's so cool. Like, buy a bunch of our shit. Get more of our shit. Awesome. Please.
As far as I understand, like, Europe's been able to do this for a long while now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're also starting to get coins in third party. I got coins in Sonic Generations for 3DS.
What?
I heard they were coming with third party games. I didn't know that it started yet, though.
Well, they're gonna. Right now they have to, because what the fuck is Nintendo putting out? Like, I'm not gonna have enough coins for next year, not because I'm not buying games, but because Nintendo's not putting anything out. Trying to save up for Ball, motherfuckers. Save up for Ball.
Ball, right. Yeah. The Game & Watch.
Yes, yep.
Did you guys get your Club Nintendo Platinum?
Yes.
Things?
Yes.
It's a bunch of pins.
They're really nicely presented pins, though.
They are, I guess. They're in a box.
I was hard on it at first. I'm like, pins? And I'm still sort of like, pins? But I still think that's a little bit soft. And maybe it's more like, pins. But, you know, like, they look
free nice. Pins. Nice pins.
Yeah, but yeah, they pins. Look nice. I like the I like the Mario on the flagpole on the side. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I sort of like the box more than I like the pins.
Yeah, me too. Yep,
the box is pretty nice.
You could have just sent me a box, and I'm going to sweet. Mario box.
Oh, man. But, I'm glad Nintendo's coming around. But you're right. I mean, the biggest problem is they need to advertise it. I mean, I remember when analysts. They were complaining that, like, the 3DS, I mean, they're all bitching about Nintendo. They always do this. But they were complaining that the 3DS didn't come with games. Like, oh, the Wii came with Wii Sports, and that's why it was such a great success. The 3DS does, too. And the journalists, I mean, not all journalists, but a lot of them, like, yeah. They're, like, nodding their heads. Like, no, you guys should know better. The 3DS did come with games. Fun games, in fact, and games that serve the same purpose as Wii Sports did. You know, whereas Wii Sports got you into the motion. You know, these games are social, and they're 3D, and they're augmented reality, and they get you playing with people, taking their pictures and things, like Face Raiders and AR games and Find Me, Street Pass Me Plaza. Like, all this stuff is included with your 3DS, and you can also download Pokédex for free. As of right now, you can still download Four Swords for free. This stuff's there, and some of it even comes on the 3DS. The journalists should know better than this, but Nintendo also needs to advertise the fact that they have some really cool software under the hood as soon as you pull the 3DS out of the box.
Yeah, I'm surprised that's not in the commercials and stuff.
They never even talk about it. But Face Raiders is a lot of fun, and the AR games are really neat. And I really like Street Pass, like knees and things like that. I love that. I mean, it's kind of a shame that it's really hard to get that kind of stuff here in the U.S., but, I mean, the concept is really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So, just as a reminder, those things are there.
I think once they have, good stable of eShop games, that they just need to, like, have an eShop commercial or something. I don't
know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or even just, like, a reminder, like, you buy, like, buy a game, it's, you know, there's an advertisement inside the game. I mean, coins would be awesome. Not coins, I'm sorry. Like, what are they? No, they have dollars, so I don't know if they can give away dollars.
What the hell are you talking about, Craig?
Well, what is it? The eShop uses... Well, I'm thinking, like, maybe they could give away... DSiWare, they could have given away points, but how do you give away money? Can you even give away money?
Probably not.
Didn't they add, like, a redeem code thing?
Well, they did do that. That's true. So maybe it could work that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be best, to give someone a couple bucks to put on the eShop through a code. But even just an advertisement, like, inside of a game... I think that would be cool.
Yeah. They have the advertisements in there that say, you know, if you bought Super Mario 3D Land, it'll say, also try Mario Kart or whatever.
Right, yes.
So they could do that, just put something in for eShop games.
Yep. So I think Nintendo is starting to have, like, the content, but, you know, they're not really telling anyone it's there, sadly, and that's been their problem. So if you're listening to this, check out the eShop. Like, does anyone... I didn't even know about the Nintendo Show 3D until it already had a few episodes up. I had been around for a couple months, but I'm like, Nintendo Show 3D, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I didn't know about it until you started talking about it. I like, watched all the episodes last night.
And it's good. It's a fun little show that you stream from the eShop. It has gameplay and trailers and interviews and then, like, little slice-of-life videos all in 3D. It's good. Comes out every 2 weeks. But they don't tell anyone it's there. You know, actually, I like the window shopping kind of feel of the eShop. Every time it's updated, I go look at it. Like, everyone goes, I can't search for things. But, no, there's a search function. You totally can. But, like, people complain that, like, I don't know what they're complaining about. I think the eShop works pretty well. And I like the fact that the window shopping approach changes every week. And I just go in there and I browse through the categories and see what else is there. And I think that's actually kind of cool.
I wish their download screen was cooler. Like, I love, like, both the Wii's and the DSi's download screen, but the eShop's, eh.
It's Well, I like it. I don't like it as much as the Wii or the DSi, but I think it's all right.
It's just things dropping into a thing.
Yeah.
I like unwrapping the present, though, when it's on your screen.
You would.
I do. I think it's cool.
It's so silly. It's like, you know what you just downloaded.
But it's fun, and only Nintendo would have done something like that.
Yeah.
But, what else do we have? Miyamoto. Wired reported that Miyamoto is telling his teams he's retiring. And he came into this thing, like, Miyamoto's retiring. And the truth is, he wants to step down to work on smaller projects. Now, Nintendo contested it, like, oh, that's not what's happening. Of course they're going to say that, because their stock dropped when that happened, but...
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying he stepped down to work on smaller projects.
Dude, I
like that idea.
Yeah, Miyamoto getting back to his roots, that's like...
I'd that love the idea. I think it's better than him working on bigger games, to be perfectly honest. And this could be a matter of convenience. Nintendo's sitting there thinking, oh, we need smaller games to go on our digital platforms. Miyamoto's like, well, I'm fucking old as shit, so I don't want to work on big things anymore. I just want to work on small things. Maybe it was just a matter of, you know, this thing, like, work, you know, just being an awesome coincidence and it really working out, and that's what's going to happen. That would be great. But I don't have high hopes, because up until just, like, I don't know, last month, Nintendo hasn't been too big on releasing smaller games. Usually, like, their smaller games, when they work on quote-unquote smaller projects, they end up becoming prototypes for systems within bigger games. You know, Nintendo's not too big on releasing small games. So I'm sort of worried that maybe, you know, Miyamoto steps down and, like, he works on smaller things, but then we never actually see any, like, oh, yeah, I made that thing in this bigger game, but I didn't really work on the game itself. And we don't see, like, a real Miyamoto game anymore.
I don't know. I was picturing, like, eShop games or something.
Right. I mean,
I would love that.
That's what I'm hoping, and that's what I hope it is, and I think we would all be better for it. I would have to actually see it from Nintendo. I'm very skeptical that they're doing that. Like I said, they're turning it around with the eShop, but, I mean, a couple of games doesn't really indicate that they've completely changed their tune, so I think I would have to see that.
But, in theory, it could be really good.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. It could be awesome. It could be fantastic, I think. But
see, I think that, like, just reading Iwata asks, like, the difference between, like, old Miyamoto stories and new Miyamoto stories. Like, the old ones, you'd be like, oh, I took this art and, like, lay down graph paper and, like, drew the pixels for the characters in Punch-Out. And, like, these days, it's just like, ah, I don't know. I told some guys to do something. I can't. Like new games like Miyamoto's just, I don't, he's very hands-off, you know?
Yeah, I want him to be more hands-on. I mean, it seems like he's more of just...
He's conditioning the new generation.
Yeah. Which is good, but, you know what, they really do have some strong personalities there, I think, now. Like, you know, Miyamoto is awesome. Like, I don't want to understand how awesome Miyamoto is, but he's not the only person there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we shouldn't, you know, understate the people that they do have there that also contribute great ideas.
Obviously. That's also why I'm not worried about, like, the other franchises, like Zelda and Mario and, like, the bigger stuff. I'm not worried about those at all because, like, the past few games have been being produced and directed by other people than Miyamoto, and they've been really good still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's involved, but I don't think he's nearly as hands-on as, you know, he was quite a while back. So.
Right, but we don't know to what extent they use his ideas. Like, sometimes he... I mean, we don't know if, like, there could be times where he completely turns ideas around for the better. We don't know that.
Well, he does have, like, a desk drawer full of ideas or something. He could just give those to them, right?
Maybe. Here's all my napkins and shit I've written on.
On the side of a cup or something.
So... it could be awesome. I would love to see, like, Miyamoto working on something like Cave Story or something. Like, well, not obviously Cave Story, but something like Cave Story. Like, that would be excellent. I would love to see that. I'm just, like I said, I'm just skeptical that we will see that.
He's going to make a game where you, like, trim cats or something. It's the cat grooming game.
Nice. But I think that's about all we have for news, unless you guys have anything you'd like to add.
No, sir.
All right. Then this week's topic is Mario Kart, because we've all been playing Mario Kart 7. Now, before we go into this, have we all played every iteration of Mario Kart?
I've only played the GBA game limitedly, but yes.
Okay. Well, that's good enough for me. How about the arcade games? Did you ever try the arcade games?
Yeah, I've played both, I think. Yeah.
Now, I tried one, like, once, but very limitedly.
I played as Pac-Man. I didn't understand it. I played one of them. I don't know which one. I may have played both of them just at different... because I played it at different times, so maybe I could have played both of them. I don't know. I think it's fair to say that we've played all the Mario Karts here. Let's start with the Super Nintendo one, which, I mean, I think that really, for me, that's really... I don't know. That's probably like the first racing game I really got into because it was obviously really accessible and sort of silly with familiar characters. To this day, I still don't like racing sims. And I generally prefer like arcade-style racers. And a lot of the arcade-style racers that I enjoy, say like Diddy Kong or Wipeout or whatever, sort of owe a debt to Mario Kart. So I think it all sort of started there.
Really? You think? Well, does Wipeout have weapons and such? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they have rockets and shields. Yep, absolutely.
All right. Then, yeah. I mean, I think Mario invented, like, combat-based racing.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything... I mean, there could have been something before that, right? I mean, it's always possible. I don't want to dismiss it. But I don't know. Sure. It certainly didn't enter the mainstream, I don't think, so...
Yeah. They didn't. Invented, they definitely popularized it.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
It's one of the few games, like, when my family had hard times, one of the few games we still had hanging around, so, like, that, you know, I don't know, was sort of therapeutic to be able to play Mario Kart. But I find it hard to play these days. I actually don't play a lot of the Super Nintendo one. It's sort of weird. Like, the Mode 7 feels weird. It feels like your cart's staying in one place and the sort of world is, like, sliding around underneath you.
That's exactly what's happening, Craig.
Well, I know technically, yes. On a technical level, that is exactly what's happening. But it's just way more apparent now that that's what's happening.
Like, why is my guy in the middle of the screen this whole race? Like, that's really weird to think about. Like, yeah, your car's just staying in one spot. The track's racing around you.
Yeah.
You're controlling the track in that game. You're not even controlling a character.
And it only takes up, like, half the screen, right? Don't you only you've got the rear view mirror on the bottom of the screen?
Yeah, you can toggle between rear view and map.
Right.
And also, I don't know if you guys know, but there's, like, basically no AI in this game. Like, the racers just stay on one set course, and they try to race that exact same line, like, every single race. Oh, if you knock them, like, out, they'll just, like, get back on their line.
And they all have, like, they all only use, like, one kind of weapon.
Yeah.
Like, Donkey Kong's throwing banana peels. Like, ha-ha, asshole, I'm going to avoid your banana peel.
Peach and Toad have this mini mushrooms. Got it.
Yeah.
Yep. And
Koopa Troopa's got Koopa shells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not even Holman shells either.
No, they're just the green shell.
And Yoshi's throwing eggs. Like, nice try, asshole. Like, I'm not going to hit your egg. Yeah, they don't even... Yeah, no danger of being hit by Holman shells and blue shells and bombs and bullet bills. Nothing else. The game did have that going for it. The weapons, though, I mean, the weapons were in the game, but you know what? They weren't as important as they were in other games. I don't feel it anyway.
Nah, I don't think so.
No, definitely not.
I liked mushrooms for boosting, like, through gaps and such.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, like, shitty terrain that you could, like, boost through. Like, huh, yeah. See ya. That game loves shitty terrain. Holy crap. Like, I'm stuck. Like, all the Choco Islands or whatever. Ugh. Fucking mud.
But it also had battle mode.
It did have battle mode. And I think battle mode, you know, I maybe this is just me because I don't get to play enough battle mode. I feel like battle mode is a really understated part of Mario Kart because battle mode is really cool.
Totally.
Honestly, I barely care about battle mode in Mario Kart games. I'm all about the racing.
That's most of what I play is the racing, but the battle mode, I like the battle mode because it's almost imprecise because it's like you're not sort of like sneaking down. I mean, you can sneak down hallways if that's what you want to do, but really what you're doing is just sort of flying around and throwing things all over the place and hoping you hit something and hoping you don't get hit yourself. And it's just sort of chaotic. It's sort of, I don't know, I appreciate that level of imprecision in this particular game.
In the Super Nintendo game, I'll just get the feather and then I'll just like jump up between blocks like, for in the water area and on the battle levels, and like nobody can hit you. You can't hit anybody else either, but
just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait. Bide my time.
But you only, and you know what? The thing is, like battle mode, like in Mario Kart and Super Nintendo, just you against one other dude, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty boring. So let's move on to Mario Kart 64 in that case, which I think for a lot of people, like this is where the series, like really, I think, I don't know, became a series. I mean, obviously that's true because it's the second one, but I think a lot of people closely associate Mario Kart 64 with Mario Kart. And I think that has, the four player multiplayer plays no small part in that. Uh-huh. And definitely. This is one of the first, this was, for me, this was one of the first like Nintendo 64 games. I think it might have been the first Nintendo 64 game I purchased myself. That's why I went Player's Choice, and it was still like $40, which is a retarded amount of money. Oh, I hate using the word retarded. I apologize. I hate that. Ridiculous amount of money back then. I had a paper route, and I saved up $40. Like, that's like that. That's budget. $40 was budget for this.
What, Craig? You mean your stepdad didn't buy you the game to buy your love?
Yeah, right.
That's how I got it.
That's how you got it?
I was like, oh, sweet, Mario Kart and Shadows of the Empire. Thanks, new dad.
No, my stepdad was taking my money. That's why it took so long to save up for it. They you know, my parents took my money. I couldn't save up for it. But I loved this game. I loved Mario Kart 64. I find the tracks to be a little empty now.
They're, you know? Like, going back to it, like, kind of shatters my nostalgia for the game.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I loved, I would just play this game, like, nonstop. Oh, I found, too. Like, all these glitchy-ass shortcuts and just all this stuff.
Yep.
But, like, going back to it, I'm like, wow, these are some wide, barren tracks.
Yeah, this is some empty-ass shit.
And, like, the physics are a lot more slidey than I remember, too.
Yeah, you kind of float around. It's like, yeah, you have, like, this sprite on, like, polygonal courses, and it's like, whoop, your sprite just kind of flies
so off. So weird.
Yeah. Like, when I first played it, I didn't even realize it was a sprite. And then going back to it, I was like, what the fuck?
it's like claymation on, like,
a yeah. Yeah.
But I played a lot of this. I played a lot with friends, with family. I started dating this girl around this time. And you know what? This game was, like, the only game I've ever been, like, super competitive with. And not just, I don't mean the series, I mean specifically Mario Kart 64. Because I was good at it. Because I played a fuck ton of it. Because it was the only game I could fucking afford. So, I was awesome. If I played anyone, 10 races, 7 out of those 10 races, at the very least, I would fucking destroy them. Usually it was closer to 8 or 9. But so I started dating this girl. She was talking some shit about, oh, I'm fucking awesome at Mario Kart. And I'm like, no, I'm fucking awesome at Mario Kart. And then I decided, like, maybe I shouldn't talk so much shit because what if she is really awesome? Then, like, I look like a jackass and I'm not going to get to touch her boob. So I should probably, like, tone it down. So then we finally get a chance to play and she's terrible. She's not good at all.
Did you tell her that? Were you like, no, oh, you're just awful. You're awful.
No, I just destroyed her, and then that was that. Like, like, I don't know. I just thought that when people talk shit, they have something to back it up. even if they're not as good as me, like, I figured shit-talking is some indication that I will have some level of competition. No. No, none at all. So, but I had a blast with that. I used to play a ton of Block Fort with my siblings, just playing Battle Mode in Block Fort.
Block Fort is the best one.
It is. We would have our own blocks. We would defend it. We would be like, this is my the blue one's mine. Mm-hmm. If someone tried to invade your fort, you had carte blanche to fuck them up. Oh, so much fun.
What was the level? Triple decker, double decker, something? Sort of like, it was green and card-based. I don't know. I mean, there's only four battle modes.
Yeah, there was like the donut, and then there was like Block Fort.
Skyscraper, and then...
Oh, yeah.
I know, there were other ones besides Block Fort.
hold on.
I know, this is going to bug me too. You should find that.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, double decker. That was my favorite.
What is that one? I got to look this up, because I don't remember double decker.
That was easily my favorite on Mario Kart 64.
No, Block Fort is the best.
Everybody liked Block Fort. Oh,
this double decker? Yeah, I remember this now.
I do remember double decker, but Block Fort is the best.
I think there were three levels on double, like three height levels on double decker, so I don't know why it's double decker. There's like a bottom area. Yeah, there's a basement area. Yeah. And then,
maybe they're just not counting the basement.
That's stupid. But no,
that's stupid.
Clearly the superior level.
Well, you live in California, so you don't understand the concept of basements, but they're not really counted as a floor.
Really?
No, they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, you could furnish them, and maybe some people would count them as a floor if they really, like, tarted them up, but nah, they're basements, man. They're not floors.
Huh. Well, either way.
Well, either way.
Either way.
But a lot
either way, Block Fort is still the best.
I remember one time I came home from school, and my mom and my stepdad were playing Mario Kart 64. I was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? You don't play video games? So that freaked me out. But, yeah, like, everybody loves Mario Kart, I think. Like,
it's very accessible, yep. And that was before they started putting in all these fucking fascist items. People still like Mario Kart. I mean, the blue shell was in Mario Kart 64. People don't even remember. There's a blue shell? Yeah, there's a blue shell in that. Because you could play an entire cup and never see it, not once.
Dude, I'm going to start bitching.
That doesn't sound right.
Eventually.
What'd you say?
I said I'm going to start bitching about the blue show once we get there.
Yeah, once we get there. But nah, for a lot of people, Mario Kart 64 still represents, like, pure Mario Kart. And, I mean, I find it a little tougher to go back to. I think the item balance was better, but some of those tracks were just... It's just barren wastelands, just fucking miles of road. Like, man, the Mushroom Kingdom is a boring place.
Yeah. I've seen people say that, like, that Rainbow Road in Mario Kart 64 is the best one, and it's just a really long fucking track.
That's why you jump off the edge right at the beginning and just
that huge jump.
All right, I'm going to sound crazy, but, like, you know how there's, like, big neon faces of all the characters on Rainbow Road?
Yeah.
Yes.
In the background. The toad face always looked like Donald Duck to me. Every time I see it still, I have to remind myself that that's Toad and not Donald Duck. Like, it's hard to explain how I'm seeing it. I wonder if, like, anybody else has ever seen that.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's
I'm looking
angle.
Up a video now.
I'm looking at the video. As the bandwidth drops and everyone starts to sound like shit. I don't remember this, but anyway, Mario Kart 64 is awesome, and it's still pretty good, but...
Oh, I still just love taking shortcuts. Like, everybody will be racing to Wario Stadium, I'll just be like...
Oh, you take that jump.
I know.
Like, you guys are gonna look so... Like, sometimes I'll get it for a strike, sometimes, like, by the time I get it, I'll, like...
Everybody's caught up.
Yeah, everybody's already there.
Yeah, it kind of defeats the purpose, but... No, that's good stuff.
You got to jump over and then jump back over and do the lap in like 6 seconds.
Yeah.
I got so good that I could jump over any wall in that level, even though most of them like just put you out of bounds. But like you just got to like slam head on into the walls, and right when you hit it, you jump.
Yeah.
And I can fly over anything.
Yep, and you can do a lap in like Chris said, like 6 seconds. Yeah. That. You just bloop, bloop, just jump over. Mario Kart Super Circuit, the unsung hero of the Mario Kart franchise. I love Super Circuit. I think it's really good.
Now, see, I didn't really have anybody to play with in this game, so it's gotten easily my least amount of Mario Kart playtime. All I really remember is lots of good drifting tracks and puddles. I think Mario Kart Super Circuit invented or introduced puddles to the series that you like to slip in.
That puddles had a ridiculous amount of tracks, like 40 tracks.
Did it have all the Super Nintendo ones?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
It had all the Super Nintendo tracks plus 20 new ones. And, you know, when you compare it to, like, other, like, Mario Kart games, like Mario Kart 64 and every Mario Kart game, like, after, like, the tracks aren't as, like, visually appealing because they're, you know, there's a lot less, like, going on because, you know, you're playing on the Game Boy Advance. But I still think those tracks were pretty good. I still think that they had some good stuff going on in those tracks.
Dude, the Super Nintendo and GBA tracks are, like, some of my favorites to race in the new games.
Really?
Uh-huh.
No kidding. Wow.
They're just, like, I just love drifting in those games, and those and the older levels are, like, perfect for drifting.
Yes, they are.
Just so many corners.
Well, because there's a lot less, like, things designed to, like, trip you up. They're just racetracks, you know?
Uh-huh.
There's a lot going on. But I really like that game. I think the graphics are great. I think the music's awesome. There's a lot of, like, visually appealing things in that. Like, even, like, the menus and things, like, back in the day, like, blew me out. Like, wow, this is really cool. Like, pulsating icons and just, you know, all this different animation and stuff. And it's just not what you would expect from, like, a handheld game. It's really cool. But considering I'm the only person talking about it, I feel like the only
person. Like I said, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I just ran through the tracks once and that was it.
Yeah. I mean, I think to most people, Mario Kart is about multiplayer, and I didn't really have anybody to play it with, so.
That's fair enough, yeah. I mean, what was cool is, like, you could play it four-player if you had, you know, three link cables. And you could play, there was download play, too.
Yeah, you didn't all need to have the game.
Right. It was better if you did, because then everyone wasn't just racing as colored Yoshis, but.
Right.
No, you could play with just one cartridge, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And they've continued that into the DS game and the 3DS game, I think.
Yep.
You can play as a shy guy.
Were all the tracks available in download play?
I don't think so. I don't remember, but I don't think so. So I could be wrong on that. But I really like it. I keep forgetting what GBA Ambassador games are coming out. Was this one confirmed as an Ambassador?
I believe that is one of the confirmed.
So if you have a 3DS and you're getting GBA Ambassador games, please give it a whirl. It's not as like visually stimulating as the newer ones, but it's still a lot of fun. So I hope people give that a shot when that comes out. So I guess we can, what one was next? Double Dash, right?
Double Dash.
Double Dash. And, you know, I've come around on Double Dash over the years. Like, I feel like it was the only Mario Kart that really dared to, like, actually introduce new things. I mean, the Wii one had motion controls, but other than that, Double Dash is the only one that bothered to, like, try something new and different.
And I hated it. And I did not hate it because the multi-rider carts or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I think that Double Dash has some of the worst courses in the series. They're just really, really boring to me.
Come on, you don't like Baby Park?
Baby Park's actually one of my favorites.
You just skid around. That's all you do seven times.
Yeah,
drifting.
But you like to do the drifting.
I like Baby Park. I like the DK Mountain. And I think that's all I like.
No, there's some good ones. I mean, are they great? Like, actually, you know, I'm struggling to remember some of them. So, obviously, they're not stand out. But I don't remember being completely hating the tracks. I was put off by the dual players at first. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I feel like, you know, this has been said a lot, but the sense of speed does feel a bit muted in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's why I was put off. But I've really come around the fact that there's actually some level of strategy involved by having two racers and items particular to those racers.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't want strategy in my Mario Kart. I just want to race. I want to drift around corners and blast fools with shells.
No, yeah, well, me too, generally. But I think that as a diversion, I think it was a very good one.
This game's so far down on my Mario Kart tier list that even when, like, IGN, everybody's complaining, like, 7.9. I was like, damn, dude, that's high, IGN.
That's too high.
Wow. You too, Chris.
Now, I don't hate it that much. I mean, I like the game, but I don't think it's high on the tier of Mario Karts, really.
I think it's somewhere in the middle for me.
Yeah.
I think I would rank it higher than, if I'm taking the nostalgia glasses off, I would rank it higher than at least the SNES and the 64 versions.
I definitely prefer it to, like, the Super Nintendo and the GBA yeah. ones.
I'll rank it higher than SNES, so I don't know about anything else.
So that's still pretty much towards the bottom anyway.
I don't really remember too many of the tracks, so I mean, it's hard to compare it to the 64 one.
Yeah. No, that's fair. So I guess sort of mixed feelings about Double Dash, which I think is the overall reaction to that game is mixed feelings.
Yeah. Couldn't you do like 8-player or 16-player LAN or something?
Yeah, it was LAN play.
Yep.
I think it was 16 plays.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
I mean,
was it 8? I don't know. It was a big number. I don't know.
It was definitely. I think it was 8. I think you only do 2 games.
Did you guys ever do the co-op racing?
No.
I don't think so.
It's weird when you do like when you drift, like player one, whoever's driving. Has to, like, initiate the drift, and then whoever's in the back has to do the, like, rock back and forth stick motion to get the boost.
What?
That's weird.
So you're like, all right, get ready to drift, okay. And then, like, one person has to start drifting, and the other person has to start rocking back and forth.
Huh. That's interesting.
That sounds annoying.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was them trying to inject more cooperation into
it. Yeah. And when you switch, who's driving, you both have to press Z at the same time. So you're like, all right, let's switch, Z.
Huh.
But I think it's cool that they even let you do that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not required. So I mean, you know, it's something a bit different. So that's pretty cool. Then I guess we're moving on to the DS version. Is that what's next? Yeah.
Love the DS.
I love the DS game too.
I played the shit out of the DS game too. I think most people who played it did. Those courses, so good.
Early course design. See, this was like the complete opposite to Double Dash to me. I absolutely love the courses in the DS game.
Yeah.
Awesome courses.
They are awesome.
Delfino Plaza, excellent.
Dude, TikTok Clock is, I think, my favorite.
TikTok Clock. It's, yeah, when you have to change, like, you're drifting, like, left, right, like, around on the gears. Oh.
Yeah,
when you
that
nail
is awesome.
It feels so good. Feels good, man. Feels good.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. What's the desert? Is that what it's called?
It's the has the Mario Kart 3 sun, right?
I don't remember.
Is that the one? Yeah, that's the one with the sun, I think.
Because I think it was Calamari Desert in
64. 64, yeah.
Yeah, that was 64.
So I love the desert level. It's one of my favorites too. I fucking love that desert level. Such an awesome game.
I like the Airship Fortress level.
That's good.
Back in 7.
They brought it back.
They did. Oh.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Some of the best courses this year. Maybe the best courses in the entire series.
I think there's like one course in that game I don't like, and it's the snow level, the DK snow level.
Really? I like that one.
DK Pass. They brought that one back too.
They did.
That one's back too. I'm glad that one's back.
I like it better. I like it better in the 3DS version. I don't know, but I wasn't big on it in the DS game.
So you just like the hang glider.
Maybe.
Nah, the DS version, awesome. Playing with your friends.
Oh, awesome. Luigi's Mansion, too. That's a good level.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, we can just keep going. They're all so good.
Yeah, that one's back, too.
Yep.
They're all good. They're, like, seriously brilliant course design.
Yep. Nah, really awesome. But this is where we started seeing, like, the increase in the blue show. And it was pretty bad.
See, in this game, I would get nailed by it a lot, but I am a snaker. I'm going to admit that. My name's Seth, and I'm a snaker. So I'd usually be so far ahead in the game that, like, I could get nailed by 3-4 blue shells and still place first. And so it didn't really affect me that much. The worst, though, is when I would be out-snaked and then somebody else would just be, like, way out ahead of me.
Snaking is not. I understand, like, there's.
I didn't realize there was a word for it. I was just doing it naturally. I was like, oh, yeah, I could boost all over the place in this game. And then I'd, like, get on the line, and people were complaining about snakers. Like, oh, shit, that's what I do.
That's me. Nah, I mean, yeah, I think we can talk about the topic of snaking. I can understand that people wanted to. It's sort of like Smash Bros. People doing foxes, final destination, no items. good. You want to play the game the wrong way? Knock yourself out. I don't want to be involved with your wrong game.
But I felt it was like I would do similar in Mario Kart 64. Like, a lot of the tracks were really wide, and you could get drifts like back and forth in those tracks. It wasn't as easy as Mario Kart DS, but you could still do it. So I mean, I was even doing this in Mario Kart 64.
I think a lot of people were, but I mean, I think sneaking a boost here and there is like not that bad. But like, there are people that make the entire race about snaking, and that's so boring.
Yeah, that's just not fun.
And some people find it fun. You know what? Like I said, that's fine. You want to play your boring, wrong game.
It's not even wrong, though.
It's wrong. It's totally wrong. So have fun. Do it. I ain't going to stand in your way. I just don't want to be a part of it.
I am glad they got rid of the ability to do it because it levels the playing field. But, yeah, I don't know. I didn't think there was a problem with it until I started reading complaints about it. Yeah. I was just like, I don't know.
Sneaking is, ugh.
God, I'd be such a dick in that game, though, because I would get to the finish line, and I'll, like, turn backwards and wait, and then I'll just, like, drive it backwards when people were close.
At least you realize you're a dick, though.
He owns up to it. I mean, what can you say?
I'd get so many disconnects.
Wow.
Oh, well.
I miss the missions, too.
All right.
Just for single player.
Oh, yeah, missions, yeah.
I wish they had those in Mario Kart 7.
I don't think I ever finished all those.
That would be really cool, because it's like, because it made sense in a handheld game to have something like that, a little more something for the single player. Because, yeah, you know, that's what you're going to do that on a handheld.
Yeah.
I forgot all about those. Yeah, no, that would make a lot of sense.
I mean, I take my 3DS out on the go, and, you know, I don't always have, like, Wi-Fi to play online or something, so I wish those were still in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess with that said, we can talk about Mario Kart Wii.
I love the track design in the Wii game, too.
I do, too. I like it a lot. Shitty with the fucking blue shell again.
Yeah, this one, yeah, blue shell, I think, got even worse. I don't know.
I feel like it did, too. And it's just that there's so little defense for it.
And I think... Wait, is it the Wii game or the Double Dash game? I think one of them, you could use a mushroom and, like, boost out of the blue shell, like, right before it flies into you.
Seriously?
I'm pretty sure.
If you time it well, that's probably all of them, but, like, I never get a mushroom in first place. I don't know about you.
I've tried it in the 3DS game, and you definitely can't.
It doesn't work, no.
Oh, okay. I mean, you just so rarely get a mushroom at that point. Like, you have to, like, save it for, like, a lap and a half when you're back in, like... fifth, and like, yeah. No, I want to use weapons, I want to kill things, so I'm not going to hang on to this fucking mushroom. Especially if you get hit and, like, lose it, so... Because at any moment, you could be pegged with a lightning bolt and fucking lose it anyway, so...
I hate the way lightning bolts steal your items.
Yeah, that sucks.
Well, it sucks when, like, you have one dragging behind you, and then you have one in your box, and, like, I just lost two items.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you're right about to, like, go to a shortcut, you're about to use your mushroom, and then bam, lightning bolt. And then
you're in the grass or something.
Yeah, not only do you not get the shortcut, you're in the grass, or you're, like, over.
It doesn't even make sense, because, like, a car is the safest place to be. Like, it's grounded by rubber.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow.
Actually, do you know what I was just thinking? They need to bring back that Yoshi Island from, or this Yoshi level from the 64 game.
One of those crazy banana levels, like, people don't even know, yeah. Dude, I had totally mapped out the shortest path. Oh,
me too!
Everyone did, but that was
stupid
cool.
Question marks. Everybody knew that you were winning.
So awesome. No, that was a cool course, but I don't think mom and pops could handle it these days. So. Maybe that's why it's gone. Because, I mean, for what it's... I mean, the courses are way more straightforward. I mean, there's a lot of cool design. There are some shortcuts. But I think the courses have gotten... Well, maybe they've always been straightforward. I don't know. But I do feel like they've been simplified in some way.
I don't think so.
No?
Nah, I think they're basically the same.
Okay.
A lot of the... Like, in the newer... A lot of the quote-unquote shortcuts or alternate routes, they seem to... take longer or be pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly the same. Yeah, they're basically alternate routes. Yeah, but some, maybe it's contingent on what, like, items you have. Maybe the mushroom is more beneficial with this route or whatever, so.
Yeah, probably. Or, like, the boost pads. Like, they have boost pads, like, way on the outside of a lot of the turns. Go faster if you, like, just strip on the inside.
Right, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Mm. It's not worth it. But a lot of people like to ride on those, so maybe one lap I'll just drop a banana peel in the middle of one. That's what I do. Now the Wii one's pretty good. Actually, you know what? I mean, I don't know how. I don't think this opinion is very popular, but I bought it because of the motion controls. That to me was the selling point.
Craig, I'm gonna reach to the internet and slap you.
Listen. Mario Kart's the fucking same thing over and over again. Some people, except for like Double Dash. Again, Double Dash was the only one that wasn't, and people didn't like it. And honestly, I like Mario Kart. I love Mario. I would rank it up there, one of my favorite franchises. But it's the same damn thing over and over again. And the only thing that got me playing it was the fact that there was something different about Mario Kart Wii. And the motion controls work really well.
It had 12 player online?
I don't remember.
How many players is it online, Chris?
I don't know. I never played much of the Wii one, believe it or not.
Really? Yeah. Like, I think I may have played the second most of the Wii one after the DS one. Maybe even more, actually. Because it has the, like, 12-player online, or 16-player online, I don't know. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And it had, like, a 2-player online, so you could have, like, a friend over at your house, and both of you could play online at the same time.
Yeah.
He's like, which,
I loved it. No, shut up, Chris, you're wrong. And it has awesome levels, and I don't know.
And awesome motion controls, too.
No, Craig's stupid.
No, it worked well.
Whenever I did play, I will say that I use the motion controls.
Ah, these guys. You're killing me.
I don't know. I just thought it was cool that it did something different.
I use them for waggling when going off a jump to do tricks.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
And to waggle when the POW block comes up to avoid losing speed.
Could you do that?
Yeah, you'd still spin, and I think you'd lose your item, but you wouldn't lose any speed.
Huh. I'll have to keep that in mind.
Yep.
But I like the Wii version. I don't think I played it as much as I played other ones, though. Like, even with Mario Kart 7, I still think I played Mario Kart 7 more than I played the Wii one.
I definitely have.
Nah, dude, I played so much of the Wii version.
But really cool courses. I'm really glad that, like, What is it called? The sort of autumn forest one.
Maple Treeway?
That's what I thought, but I want to sound dumb. I'm glad that one's back, because I really like that one. It's very visually appealing, and I like the fact that there's giant wigglers in it.
Giant wigglers walking across the track.
Yeah, so I really like that track.
The Rainbow Road, I think, in the Wii version is my favorite Rainbow Road.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, it's not as good as the long, boring 64 one.
No. Dude, they stuck that... They stuck that track in F-Zero 64, and it's still long. F-Zero X.
I don't own F-Zero X. Rainbow Road's in that?
Yeah, Rainbow Road's in F-Zero X.
Wow. I'll have to track that game down, then.
Dude, F-Zero X is... Like, there's a mode where you just kill all the other racers, and, like, it's timed on how long it takes you to kill everybody else, just by, like, spinning into them and, like, smashing them into the walls and off to the edges.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Sounds good.
I just realized I didn't play any battle mode in the GameCube or Wii versions.
Neither have I. I did in the DS one, but only locally, because that wasn't online.
Yeah.
Is it online with Mario Kart 7? I haven't tried yet.
Yes.
I believe it is, but I haven't played it yet.
Okay. Yeah, because Diddy Kong Racing DS came out, and like, haha, we have battle mode online. Like, everyone hated that game. I have no idea why, because it was awesome. And had battle mode online. Like, why couldn't Mario Kart do this?
But, yeah. I mean, you could do... I actually played a little bit of online in the Wii one. Like, probably one or two matches, but I didn't like it.
What? Battle mode online?
Battle mode online in the Wii version, yeah.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
It was all team-based. Like, it was, like, red versus blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a big... Everybody just hitting each other. I don't know, it was too chaotic, I think.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Then I guess we'll talk about Mario Kart 7 then. Is that cool? We're all moving on? I don't want to move on unless people want to move on.
I guess. Me and Chris were playing this yesterday.
I'm jealous. I've been working like 60 hours a week. People are like, well, have you played it online yet? I'm like, yeah, like once. Like, I don't have time to fucking play it. It sucks.
I played a lot yesterday.
I think online, at least, I think this might be the worst Blue Shell Offender game yet.
Oh, really?
It's pretty bad.
Oh,
it's
no.
Really bad.
Because in single player, it's really, it's not great, but it's tolerable. I think it's toned it down past, you know, in comparison to the last two games.
It's not.
I feel
it's
like
not...
it varies. I feel like when I'm in last, like, I never get a blue shell. But then when I'm in first, I'll get hit, like, twice.
So I'll be in first, but I'll go whole races without seeing it.
Then you're lucky. Like, honestly, I'll get hit, like, by a blue shell on average by 1.5 times a race.
Hmm. Yeah, because some races I'll see it, like, three times. And I'm like, oh, my God. But then I'll have races where I don't see it at all.
Online, I'll, like, thank God if I don't see a shell. It's like, I think once in every 20 races I won't see a blue shell.
Wow. That's pretty bad. And is it multiple times per race?
Yes. Gross. And especially if somebody's, like, way out in front, then the blue shell is going to appear no matter what.
I fucking hate that weapon. I hate that weapon.
If you're close, like, if there's a tighter pack, then the blue shell appears less frequently. But I found that if, like, you got a commanding lead, then the blue shell appears, it's going to appear.
Hmm. Fuck that shit. Fuck that shit so much.
But now it also hits everybody else on the track, too, so everybody else is complaining. Everybody just first. So, like, even
everybody
people, like, in fourth.
Off to the side.
Yeah, even people in fourth be like, fucking blue shell!
I like the track design.
I don't think it's that great. I don't think it's bad, but I don't think it's, like, BS or Weave level.
I don't know. That shipyard level, one of my favorite levels in any Mario Kart.
I'm not big on it.
Oh, so good. And this is what I was talking about when I said, like, when I was watching videos of it, it looked like a platformer on wheels, and, like, that's what that level sort of reminds me of. I like that a lot.
The courses are a little short, I think. I wish they were...
I think so. I think, yeah, most of them are pretty brief.
Wish they were a little longer. I do like the idea of the segmented tracks, like the...
Oh, the Woohoo Island ones?
The
Rainbow Road.
Exactly. Yeah,
I like that idea a lot, too, because then it allows you to see more and do more in one race. And I'm glad, like, Woohoo Island is in this game. Like, I'm really glad that Nintendo is sort of, like, putting this island in, like, different games. Like, when they put out, like Wii Sports Resort and they're, like, Wii Fit and stuff, like, oh, we want to make this island its own character. I'm like, fuck your island. But... I think it's worked out pretty well. Like, I like it in Pilot Wings, and I like it in Mario Kart. So I'm glad that they're doing this. I think it's really neat. And I think that, you know, Woohoo Island in general just, you know, makes up, you know, one of my favorite locales in Mario Kart 7. What do you guys think of the Lucky 7 item?
I've only gotten a few times. It doesn't seem to be, like, a race change or anything.
No, it really it really depends on how you play. Because, like, if you get hit with a lightning bolt, boom, all seven items are fucking gone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, also, if you play your cards right...
You don't know what item's going to come out first, though.
Right.
So, like, the very first time you use it, then you're like, oh, shit. But I think after you use that first one, then they go counter... Or no, they go clockwise from where the space
is. I think it's just whatever's in front of you.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah,
That's how I've been doing it.
I just mash the button so I don't fucking read them.
You just bash the... What if there's a bomb and you, like, throw the bomb out in front of you and, like, drive right into it?
Oh, no, I've done that. But, I mean, you run just as much risk as some asshole slamming in the back of you or something.
Yeah.
That happens all... No. Man, I hate that shit. Or, like, some guy's, like, dragging behind him and then you hit with a shell and he swerves into you and things blow. Like, oh, fuck you with your bomb, you stupid, careless asshole.
I noticed that the blooper item actually, like, covers more of the screen in this game, so it's actually more of a... folly.
Yeah, it actually makes it hard to see.
Yeah, like in the DS one, I was like, oh, whatever, I can still see everything.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's why I'm more frustrated with it in this game, because I didn't really, like, measure the pixels or anything on what it fucking covers, but yeah, I mean, I've been more frustrated with that blooper item in this game than I have in past ones. Like, shit's a pain in the ass.
I think it covers up more the further up you are, too, because I've been further back, and, like, it's just, like, a little
And listen, that shit shouldn't work underwater. Fuck that noise. If I jump in the water,
it's a squid. That's where it uses its ink.
It shouldn't be all over my face. I should be able to wash it off. Like a boost, the wind will blow it off my face, but the water won't wash it. Doesn't make any sense.
So you're saying that squids in their natural habitat, their
it just poofs into a cloud. It's not in your face.
It's completely useless.
It doesn't drip down my fucking face.
All right. Well, pretend like instead of hitting the camera, then there's like
no, because then you can drive. No, because if I was really driving in the
just
water,
just pretend like there's a cloud of smoke there.
But they could drive around a cloud.
A homing cloud of smoke.
Nah. Water. Now that I can drive underwater, they should have totally made that wash out off my face because I don't like it. Have you guys tried driving in first person yet? I just thought of that. Because I haven't.
I don't even know how.
I don't know how either, yeah. Because I wonder if motion controls are mandatory, and because I know like that's you sort of steer.
I mean, I hit all the face buttons and everything, and I didn't go in first person.
Is it
anywhere,
the D-pad, maybe?
No, you can race with the D-pad, I think, can't you?
I don't know. I've been using the circle pad.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know why you'd want to.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't either, but...
Craig would. He fucking loves his motion controls. You too, Chris. Why don't you just go motion control race each other all day long?
Shut up. You and your fucking weird-ass universe where water doesn't wash ink away.
It's fine. It's a fucking Mario. Why are you driving underwater, Craig? You should question that first.
Because my car has a propeller, duh.
Yeah, nobody, what are they, holding their breath?
It's Mario. They don't breathe.
Visibility's like zero. They can't see where they're going.
No. Well, I still think that's what it should do. Especially considering how fucking, like, you can't fucking see with that at all.
That's the point. At least they fixed the item now, so, like, it does something.
No, before it was inconvenient.
Before it was nothing.
And now when you have so much crap on the track, you're like, oh my god, like, it sucks. You can't see anything.
Man, I was actually glad that they, like, made the blooper cover more of the screen.
Wow. Wow. I bet you want every shell to be a blue shell, too. Rat bastard.
No, I don't, because I'm always in first. So.
He wants the lucky seven with all blue shells.
Overall, though, I like the lucky seven. I think that could have also added strategy to the game, but it just doesn't come up enough, and then you're just as likely to, like, lose them as you are to lose them.
I hate about the Tanuki suit and the fire flower, though. And that's, like, even after you activate, it still takes a drive.
It still takes up your box.
Yeah. But they do last a while.
They do, but I want a fucking second item there. I'm used
to having
two
long.
Items.
I want a new item.
Yeah, exactly.
You fucking like, ADD.
It's worse when it, like, runs out, like, right after you go through the item boxes.
Yeah.
Like, it was just there.
But they're pretty powerful, though. They're pretty... I don't know. Like, maybe that's the balance. Like, Tanuki Tail, man, I'm just knocking shells all over the place, spitting into people, fucking
the
all.
The best is a Fire Flower, like, versus Tanuki Tail. Like, one person's just throwing Fire Flowers, the other person's just spinning away. It's good stuff.
I think overall, though, those are pretty beneficial additions to the game.
Uh-huh.
Well, they're beneficial when I have them. When someone else has, like, the Fire Flower, like, that's all they just spam fireballs and like, son of a bitch.
It's worse when they, like, hit you with one, pass you, and then start throwing them back.
Oh, man, Toad, you trolling asshole.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man. But I love the series as a whole. I think it's a great series, and it's inspired some other great games like Diddy Kong Racing and Wipeout. Like, Wipeout I love, because Wipeout's less cheap. I think it's a great series, and I'm glad that it's endured to this day. You know, Jim Sterling, in his review, chided Mario Kart 7 for being too much of the same, and that's not good enough. And he's entitled to feel that way, but I think that Mario Kart's such an awesome franchise that I don't mind that each iteration is largely similar.
If the tracks are good and the items are fun, then I'm in.
That's and it has motion controls.
No. and the sense of speed has to be good, too. Not that double dash molasses stuff.
Yeah. What do you think of the coins? Do the coins actually make you go any faster, do you guys think?
I think if you get a slight boost, like the most minuscule boost when you grab, I don't know if it's anyone, but it's definitely when you have more than 10. It's mm-hmm. a little bit of a little tiny bit deep, just a bit, like someone nudged you.
But I can't tell. I don't know. I've just been unlocking stuff with
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, like, it would be nice if I could, like, buy parts. It almost feels like the sort of, like, crafting and upgrading in, like, Skyward Sword, where it's, like, there, but it's so half-assed, like, it doesn't even matter. That, like, I guess I can grab coins and eventually it'll open something, but I'm not really that enthused by it.
I think it feels like less than Skyward Sword. Skyward Sword, like, I've actually gone, like, hey, I need to get some parts. I'm going to go down the desert.
Like, that's my point. Like, you don't even need them there either. But yeah, I think you're right, though. I think it's even less meaningful than it is.
It's like a progress bar in a first person shooter or something after you play a race. Just like, here's the points you got for participating.
it's a neat idea collecting coins and unlocking parts, but it'd be nice if, like, there were more parts and the parts were more meaningful and I could, like, buy them with the coins that I have and stuff. Right. Yeah. You got 50 coins. Here's just some shit. Like, oh, okay. So it's a neat idea, but it's not there. It's not compelling enough, I think.
7 has the communities feature too, where you could like make a community, I guess.
They have some really cool, all together the online features where you can trade stuff through like ghosts and stuff through like you just spot pass. Which is great that Nintendo's realizing, oh gee whiz, not everywhere is Japan, so Street Pass doesn't work. Street Pass is an awesome idea. I love Street Pass. And I love the fact that you don't need to have the game in there in tag mode and put to sleep or whatever. It's part of the system. But the problem is, it's just like it's so much harder to get that stuff here in the U.S. And I'm glad that you can trade like ghosts and stuff through Spot Pass. It's a good thing.
The communities, though, you could. There's like item selection, so you could not have loot if you want.
Yeah,
but it's really limiting. It's like only bananas only, bombs only, shells only. Like you can't like pick and choose what items you want, like in Smash Bros or something. Which I think is a missed opportunity.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice if you could do that. But I mean, as a whole, I think it's a good idea.
Yep.
As a whole. Yeah. So, really great game. Really great addition to a great series.
Are we going to mention the arcade games?
I guess we can. I guess no one really...
There are some arcade games.
There are some arcade games. You can take a picture of your face and it's over your
phone. The arcade games make you pay money to progress through the circuits even if you get first.
Yeah, you get first, yeah.
And really?
Yeah.
Yes. And this is why I only played each one once.
Yeah, it's bullshit. And that's why it doesn't even count. That's why it's called Mario Kart 7 and not like Mario Kart like 9 or whatever. Because they don't fucking count. Because they just make you pay. Like, I got in first. What do I get? Oh, nothing. Leave.
Pay another $2 to continue the circuit. No. Yeah. But actually, of the levels I played, I actually like them.
Oh, I like the game. And, like, the graphics are great, too. Like, I mean, it looked really... I mean, you know, Wii's obviously caught up with that and stuff. But, I mean, you know, at the time, like, it looked really great. And
you could play as... Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man and some ghosts.
Yeah. Namco
and some Tamagotchis. The second Mario Kart Arcade 2, whatever the hell it's called, I swear there's like Tamagotchi looking characters in it.
Yeah, I think it's like GP Mario Kart. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Mario Kart GP. But yeah, there's. Pretty sure it's a Tamagotchi. Is that Namco?
I don't know. Well, actually, yes, because Bandai Namco.
And yeah, okay.
Owns Tamagotchi.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Just Google it. This stupid little this yellow thing with giant eyes and black mouse ears. That's what you can play as.
Yeah, that is in there. But there's Mario Kart. Unless you do you guys have anything you'd like to add?
It's really weird, like the same things that frustrate you in that game. Also can make you so happy when you do it to other people. for example, I absolutely hate when I get hit by like a show or something and I'm all stopped. And then like right when I start going again, like somebody will slam into me with a star on or something. I'm like, fucking shit, I just can't catch a break. But whenever I have a star, I go out of my way to just like slam.
Like yesterday when I got blue shelled right before the jump in, DK Jungle, and then you ran into me and knocked me so that I didn't hit the jump, and I just had to drive all slow through the water.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate it when you do that to me, but I would love to do it to you.
You did that to me! You got me back!
I know I did.
Sorry, I missed it.
It's a weird dichotomy like that. But no, like, when you get screwed over in that game, like, if you get hit by something, a lot of times it just keeps on you just keep on getting hit by stuff until you're in last.
But the funny thing is, like, you keep playing, like, you, like, so you make up swears. But you keep playing, and, like, that's that, you know?
It's the Mario Kart effect.
It is. It is. So, that is, I don't know, I think that says a lot about the game. It's still fun, even when you're not having fun.
When you get last, it's because the game's fucking broken, and when you get first, it's because you're awesome.
Usually, yeah. I think that's pretty much how it works, yeah. Chris, do you have anything you like to add about the series?
I don't think so.
All right.
It's awesome.
Okay, so. We can do listener input, listener questions. If you would like to add something to the discussion, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TVandLust. Actually, if you do that right now, too, Seth designed a TV and Lust level for Pushmo on the 3DS, so you can just get the QR code for that and play and climb up a TV. So,
have either of you played that level?
I haven't had time.
Oh, God, these guys.
I can't yet.
Ah, this guy.
You need to unlock, like, enough, you need to have played enough levels to use all the different pieces or whatever.
I see.
Like because yours has the ladders in it or whatever, you have to get to the levels that have the ladders.
Really? Oh.
And I've got the ladders, and I still can't play it, so there's still something else I got to do.
Yeah, there's also, I think in World 5 or something, you unlock bigger puzzles, that might be it.
Okay, that's probably it. I think I'm in World 4 or World 5.
All right.
So I'm up to, like, 95 so far, I think. So
I didn't realize it locked you out of even the user-created content.
Yeah, that's really annoying. I mean, you'd think that stuff should be separate, but
this is fucking Nintendo, and they're all about holding your hand. I couldn't believe how much fucking talking is in this fucking puzzle game.
It's probably the first world, Craig.
You want to shut the fuck
and
up?
And there's a little bit of the third world.
All right, here. Right.
Mm, no, they like
advanced lessons.
New things. I think it's only like the first couple levels, though, at least in that one.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
A little bit.
Here's anyway. This
ladder. Then there's another color ladder. Then there's upside down ladders. Yeah.
Hey, did you see that hole? I mean, we'll talk about it when we get to the games we play,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Questions.
Lars says, I would love to see Mario Kart for iOS.
So Nintendo stockholders.
That's probably not going to happen. Could you please bring that up and discuss whether it would work or not? Thanks and greetings from Sweden. Hey, Sweden.
Lars is on the is a Nintendo stockholder. He owns a large share of Nintendo. And
it would work because, I mean, there are kart racers on iOS and they're neat little games, but at the end of the day, I think I would just rather play it on my DS or 3DS or whatever.
But you love motion controls, Craig.
Yeah, but not when the screen's like this small and I have to put like my fat thumbs to like fire buttons and things like that on it. That was fantastic. That was podcast over, folks. We can't follow that up.
I didn't know I was going to burp. It just came up. I'm really sorry.
No, I think it would work, but you would never see it. There are similar games. Like, I think Crash Racing's on there. Is like, I think it's Crash. And then there's
like their big like launch game, like get the iPhone and play Crash.
And then yeah, like Caveman Racing too. There's like that Caveman one. So, I just got emailed about an article for The Escapist.
I can't spend $400 on a phone or whatever, so I don't care.
Well, you can get it. This is an iPod Touch, but that the problem with mobile gaming is like it actually everyone's like, oh, mobile gaming is gonna overtake handheld gaming. Yeah, when you have to like buy a whole new device like every like 2 years, no. And this earlier today, I had to sit here and update all my fucking games. Like iOS games don't patch when they get updated. You literally download the whole update, like the whole game, the whole thing.
So it's like WiiWare.
Yeah, so like you're sitting there and you're like, I have to download like Street Fighter, that's like 500 megs. It's pretty big. I'm sorry, that's not exactly the way of the future when I have to sit here and wait 10 minutes for my fucking game to fucking download.
But how do you really feel?
It's frustrating. I just don't like things that don't respect my time. I want to play your game, but the time I would have spent playing your game, I just spent updating it. So,
yeah.
Not playing your game. Anyway, so, I mean, do you guys think that this, I mean, Seth, you don't really play iOS games, do you?
Nah.
I mean, what do you think about Kart Racer on iOS, Chris?
I think it could work, but I don't know if I'd want to. I mean, obviously you can, you know, you can use motion controls to steer, but I mean, I think Mario Kart still needs like some buttons for the items and whatnot. So I don't know if I'd want to play it.
Double Dash didn't have hopping either. That's made me mad.
That did it for you, huh? The hopping.
Yeah, the hopping. That's the sole reason, actually. Screw everything else I said.
Okay. Azam has two things here, because I think he only kept it to the two things, so...
Yep.
He stuck to that. Good for him.
He took it to heart.
He did. If you could choose one game that you would consider the best of the year, what would that game be? And I wanted to thank Craig for talking so much about Deus Ex Human Revolution on the podcast, to the point where I bought it, and I love it. I actually think that's my favorite game of the year, so that's awesome. I'm glad you enjoy it. We will have an episode where we talk about our favorite games of the year, so I think we should probably save the talk for then. I haven't really fully decided yet. I'm leaning towards Mario, but I don't really know, and because I'm not prepared, and we'll talk about it in the future.
Yeah, I'm way not prepared. I don't even, like, what came out this year, I don't know.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Long 12 months. I have to do some research for that.
We actually let the whole year go through before we're not the VGAs. And he also says, my favorite Mario Kart memory was when it came with my N64, and that was the only game me and my brother played for 3 months until we got Super Mario 64. So that's pretty cool. Nah, playing with your siblings definitely was, well, playing with my siblings anyway was one of the best, like, memories I have of, like, the Nintendo 64.
Nah, my brother was violent, so that was no fun. the only fun, like, to play with him in games he was better at me in, which is... basically just Wave Race, so.
Lukey says, I nominate Smokey for the official Teamless mascot. No.
No? No. Wow.
He's not.
I'm sorry, not a teal Smokey.
TV.
What'd you say?
He doesn't look like a teal TV.
Is that a mascot? We should put a smiley face on it. Hey, guys, I'm the Teamless TV.
Put some, like, eyes on it, and I guess it could be a mascot. Googly eyes.
No googly eyes. It's not Banjo-Kazooie.
I say I'm updating this this Pushmo puzzle with googly eyes.
Oh, gross. Bob says that he loves Mario Kart 7, but playing it made him realize why he dropped Mario Kart DS. It's uncomfortable to hold the DS with the slim form factor and small buttons. Says, I'm so happy that acceleration is mapped to both the Y and A buttons on the new game. I wish they'd done that with the DS as well. Or better yet, allow players to customize control layouts. Do your hands get cramped while playing non-stylus 3DS or DS games?
No. But, do you know,
My hands used to go numb. Like the circulation, I don't know how I'd be playing to the point where, like, the circulation just was off in my hands.
Like Kung Fu gripping it?
And no, but it's just certain games did it more than others. Mario Kart was definitely one of them, and that's non-stylus. But no, like, even, like, I played a ton of Lost in Blue on the DS when that came out. And I would play it, and my hands were, like, purple. And, like, I don't know what the fuck why that was happening. That game was addictive, guys. Digging up potatoes and shit, I don't know.
Great potato famine?
Well, you had to eat every 2 seconds in that fucking game. But,
just like real life.
Yeah, exactly like real life. But nah, I mean, my hands definitely got cramped playing some games. Not so much now. I don't know. I really don't have that problem that much with the 3DS. Not yet, anyway. But I definitely did with the DS.
I feel like the shoulder buttons are too close to the back lid on the 3DS.
I've never considered this. I don't,
like, when I go to, like, hit the L button to use items in the game. Like, I don't know. Just feels really uncomfortable to me.
Okay. You know, I think sometimes, for some reason, L feels uncomfortable in general. R feels fine.
Yeah, R is fine, but I think it's because I have my finger on R the entire time, whereas I, like, rest my left finger, like, behind the 3DS, except when I go to use an item.
I think it's more about the positioning of the directional inputs.
Let's see. I'm going to whip this thing out.
Because if you look, like, the D-pad is either lower than... The D-pad's lower than the buttons, and the analog knob is higher than the buttons. It's sort of off-center. Like, that's... I feel much better with the analog, the slide pad, more than I do the D-pad. Like, at first I was playing, like, fighting games with, like, the D-pad, and then I couldn't hack it anymore because it's oddly positioned. It'll probably be good for, like, supplementary buttons, like how consoles use their D-pads now. But actually, even in 2D games, I'm starting to prefer the slide pad because just the positioning.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It feels a little weird.
And then you have your thumb on the slide pad, and then you put your finger on the L button, and you kind of got this really weird, like, I mean, you have the claw in other games, but, like, this is, like, a really, like, weird position for, like, a claw. It's, like, it's just too close together, I think.
Yeah.
So, Chris, you ever get hand cramps or anything
like that? I actually have a little bit playing Mario Kart 7. I mean, maybe because I just played online for a couple hours and I was getting really hardcore into it. But that's the first that I can remember, at least on the 3DS. I don't remember having any problems with the DS, so... Hmm.
Bardia says, have any of you guys ever played Destroy All Humans 2? And if so, what did you think? It was one of my favorite PS2 games when I was in third grade.
I have not.
I have not either.
I have, but I don't... I remember more... I guess Destroy All Humans 1 stuck with me more. So I don't really remember much from the second one. But I remember liking it.
I remember wanting to check the games out, but I never got around to them.
Should definitely check out 1 and 2. I don't know about anything after that, because I don't think anything after that was developed.
There's more than 1 and 2?
Yeah, I think there's 4. There's at least 3. I think there might be 4.
Wow.
But I don't think Pandemic worked on anything after 2. So, and I hear the reaction wasn't too hot anyway, so... Josh says, do you guys watch any sports, especially with the UConn Huskies destroying a basketball? I was thinking Craig would be... excited for a team from his state. Same with Chris and Green Bay still undefeated. If not, then there is no major loss. Who are the Huskies? We talk about the men or the women in Huskies? Because like, does anyone even give a shit about the men's Huskies?
I have no idea.
Husky is a dog.
Yeah, it's the mascot for UConn. I think I've gone to a couple, like, UConn basketball games. Like, I dated a girl who went to UConn. So, like, I went to a bunch of, like, their football games before they even had, like, a field. Like, they had a field, like, at the school, but it wasn't, like, a stadium or anything like that. So fucking cold. Fucking hate football. Because she was in marching band. So, like, I would, you know, go and show my support for, like, her halftime show. And, like, I was happy to do it. But, like, ugh, what's all this football in between all of that? In football, you play for, like, 10 seconds, and then you stand around for another, like, 5 minutes. It's fucking ridiculous. But people love it. People love it. Now, I'm not a sports guy. You know, and the reason is because I like some of the concepts of sports. Like, I don't know, I like the idea of, like, working hard and achieving something. But, which is very vague, I know. But I tried playing sports when I was younger. And I simply do not have the coordination. I think people have certain predispositions to certain things, and you can work hard and get better in things, but just you're always going to be better at some things than others. And for me, it was never anything that required coordination. Anything more difficult than putting on my pants is just can't do it. So because I couldn't play sports, I was just never too into following them. So that's not for me.
I like to go to occasional baseball games, but that's it.
See, I find baseball relaxing. You just kind of sit there and you just kind of watch some old fat dudes run around a diamond for a while. It's not... I don't know. You could eat a pizza while playing baseball, so I don't know if that's really a sport.
Ah, come on.
Dude, I'm just being a dick.
I mean, I'm not crazy about baseball or anything, but even I find that.
No, I'm just being an asshole. Like... I don't believe that. I'm just... Nah.
And I'm sad now that there's, like, no old fat guys on my Padres anymore.
I don't care about sports.
You all about Green Bay?
No, I don't care about sports. I like it when the Packers win because it makes the mood at work good. Because everybody in Wisconsin seems to be all about the Green Bay Packers.
You know, but getting on that subject about the enthusiasm over sports, like, sometimes I don't understand over – even if I try to apply it to the things that I like – I will never understand, like, grown man getting, yeah, yeah.
I love when my sister and her husband watch the Chargers play, because then I just go out there and start talking about how awful they are. It's like, oh, who's he throwing it to? Who's that? What the hell?
But just like that, getting up and, like, cheering, I'm like, what the fuck stake do you have in any of this? Unless you're betting. Unless you're betting. But, because, like, now I live in an apartment, and it's generally pretty quiet here. Actually, it's really good in that regard. But the only time I ever really hear anything, fucking Sundays. Right before we started the podcast, I was afraid I was going to interrupt the podcast, because I go, it's the only time I ever hear anything. Like, sit your fucking ass down and shut the fuck up and watch your game. Damn.
Football.
You know, because it would be far less socially acceptable if, like, one of my, like, I disconnected, like, my sound system. And, well, some of the speakers still, but, like, I don't have, like, the bass. I mean, can you imagine me sitting here playing, like, Call of Duty, those fucking explosions and that fucking subwoofer and shit hooked up? That would be far less socially acceptable than, like, a bunch of guys cheering. Yeah. If I made all that record playing video games, which I don't because I'm fucking considerate of my neighbors, but... like, that would just not be nearly as cool. And that, I can't imagine sitting here cheering because I finished the game or whatever, so... And that I actually accomplished. I didn't watch some other dude doing it on TV. So, to me, like, the whole concept is just weird. And when you're living in a setting like this, completely inconsiderate.
I don't know. I cheer like crazy when I hit Seth with blue shells.
Damn it. All right. Next.
Sports. He's like off the subject of sports. Brandon's got a couple things here. He says, what is your favorite arcade-style fighting game? Smash Bros. Doesn't count because of how unconventional it is. So, you know, talk about more conventional things. He says his would be Mortal Kombat, but he's trying to get better at Killer Instinct. On the subject, I really don't like Mortal Kombat. I like the newest one I played a little bit, and I like that. But I think mostly because it ganks so much from, like, Eastern fighters. But me personally, I like Dead or Alive. And not for the reasons that I think other dudes might like it. I like Dead or Alive.
Pansu.
Nah, I really do like Dead or Alive. And, is Dead or Alive in arcades? Is that even?
I think it used to be. Maybe at one point.
Just not so much now. Yeah. But I mean, that or like Blaze Blue, which is definitely in arcades because I played it in arcades. So, so Dead or Alive or Blaze Blue.
I'm gonna have to still stick with King of Fighters here. I mean, the King of Fighters 13 is really good, so I think that's my favorite right now.
What system did you get that for?
PS3.
And so you're using the D-pad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever consider using an arcade stick at home?
I am horrible with arcade sticks in video games.
Okay. Yeah, I generally am too. It requires more time to input than it does just, you know, when you're using your thumb.
I'm just not, like, I'm just used to thumb, like, moving my wrist or using, like, all my fingertips to hit buttons. I just can't do it.
Gotcha. What about you, Chris? Your favorite arcade-style fighting game?
I've never really been big on fighting games at all outside of Smash Brothers, which he kind of said we can't choose.
Unconventional!
The only one I've ever really gotten into is, like, the Marvel vs. Capcom games, just because I'm a fan of the characters.
So that's, you know, it's by default.
Yeah.
He unlocked all the costumes for everybody in Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and then just picked 3 Spider-Men.
And then he also asked, it's a weird question. Have any of you ever started a fire by accident?
Not by accident.
Just 2 hours ago, I made the mistake of zapping microwavable KD without water. Kraft dinner, you fucking Canuck. He's outed. We call that macaroni and cheese in these parts, Brandon.
Oh, is that what KD is?
That's what I would assume, yeah.
It's weird. I once started a fire on purpose, but then it got way too big. It accidentally got way too big.
When I was 2, my mom used to eat a lot of, like, popcorn, like the kind that you would, like, put a little butter in a pan and just kind of slide it back and forth over the stove. So when I was 2, I tried doing this. And I don't remember how I accomplished it. I mean, it must have used, like, a step stool or something. I was pretty young. I was, like, 2 or 3. And so I just put the whole fucking plastic jar in the saucepan and turned the stove on. And this was a nightmare, let me tell you what. So, yeah. So, I mean, that was... Obviously, I didn't intend to start a fire, so I guess you can call that unintentional. So...
See, that reminds me. When I was probably around 4, I tried to make myself some cinnamon toast, and I put, like, everything on the toast, the butter and the cinnamon and the sugar, before I put it in the toaster, and then it popped up on fire.
Dude, I used to do so much shit. At that age, my parents had to, like, lock me in my room because I would do so much stupid shit with, like, food. Like, I took, like, a whole fucking, like, turkey and, like, fed it to, like, the dog. Yeah, it was awesome.
I have not started a fire.
No.
Never?
Nope.
You haven't even, like, took, like, an aerosol can and, like, lit a match in front of it or something?
I guess I've done that, but I guess we'll say not an unintentional fire.
I see. Well, you won't get a merit badge that way.
Nope.
I'll go try after this podcast.
Okay.
I'll try to accidentally start a fire.
Silver Mongoose says his favorite Mario Kart is Double Dash. The ability to have two different characters on a kart, along with the fact that there were character-specific weapons, added a new level of strategy. This is what I'm saying. Add the ability to steal items and attack other players, lots of characters, and some awesome tracks. You have a great package. But it's a little different and on the GameCube, so many people turn their nose at it, a la Sunshine, Star Fox, Luigi's Mansion, Zelda, Donkey Kong, etc. People wanted something different, Nintendo delivered, and then people wonder why things weren't the same.
Hey, can you write that?
No, but that's actually a complete metaphor for the GameCube. Like, Star Fox is different, and Mario's different, and Luigi, and, like, everyone. Yeah, but so many people did not. So many people complained about everything.
I'll complain about Sunshine and Double Dash. I got on that on those bandwagons.
Yeah.
But all the rest you mentioned, loved them.
Honestly, like, some of these I wasn't a big fan of at the time, and I'll admit that. Like, Luigi's Mansion, like, I was one of the, Luigi's Mansion, where's the vacuum cleaner? But, where's Mario? Why can't I jump? But I love it now. I mean, I was a doofus. I completely didn't, you know, I think I was expecting something else, didn't get it, and so completely wrote off what I did get. But I love Luigi's Mansion now. I think it's great.
All the bad reviews and negative just word of mouth, like, made me not buy the game for a couple years. And then when I finally did buy it, I was like, this game's awesome.
I didn't play that until I actually played it on my Wii for the first time. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I picked it up used for like $15 or something at GameStop, and I love that game. I can't wait for the new 3DS one.
I got it at launch. I'm like, ugh, fine. I'll get the fucking Luigi Mansion.
It's all about Rogue Squadron and Wave Race at launch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got three of them. I got Luigi's Mansion, Rogue Squadron, and Wave Race because I'm awesome. Ryan says, at the risk of having a very unpopular opinion, I really don't like Mario Kart 64. Everyone seems to say that it's the bag of openness of the series, but I completely disagree. Everything about the game feels wonky and strange, and the track design is very dull. I did play it as a kid, however, not too much, as my cousins were the ones with the N64, and I believe I enjoyed it back then, but really, with nostalgia goggles clean off, I don't think that 64 is very good at all. DS is my favorite as of now, though I haven't got Mario Kart 7 yet. So anyone goes as far as saying Mario Kart 64 is not very good at all. I wouldn't go that far, but I do feel that it has been easily surpassed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It had a lot going for it when it came out, but doesn't have a lot going for it now.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. I actually bought that on the Virtual Console when it first came to there, and because, you know, I was a huge fan on the N64, but, I mean, I don't think it holds up as well. So...
Rusty says, I would have to agree with Silver Mongoose here. I'm not entirely sure why the game gets so much hate, but I personally love the game. I assume he's referring to Double Dash. I found the dual kart racing really unique, and I thought the special power-ups that related to each character or groups of characters was awesome. It's my favorite in the series for sure, but I have the best memories playing Rainbow Road on the N64 with my friends. Rainbow Road was, and still is, the best on the N64 version by a long shot. What?
No.
It's fun to, like, jump off at the beginning, and that's it.
Yeah.
I think at the time, though, I was just really impressed by how long the course. I'm like, wow, this is a long course. But now I'm
yeah, I was pretty impressed by it.
But now it's just, it's long, and you can't even, like, there's no place to fall off, you know? It's just...
It's been so boring.
You get blown off, though. Like, if you fuck up, like, one of those, like, air segments, like, where you get, like, jump off or a hill or something, like, you can fall off. You can.
Yeah,
it does have,
but not like you can on like the Super Nintendo game or anything, or the one in Mario Kart 7.
I'm a lot less of a fan of these days, but I love the music. The music on the Super Nintendo Rainbow Road is really cool.
I think I like it better in Mario Kart 7 than I did in the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, same here.
I hate the fucking undulating hills. Fuck you.
Just jump on, and you get boosts.
Yeah, then you get boosts. You get a bunch of boosts.
Yeah, when those thump swamp just start jumping.
Oh yeah, but then you get all the banana peels. You get all kinds of horse shit going on. Yeah,
I just remembered like. In the 64 game, I used to time all my banana drops on Rainbow Road, so I'd place them on yellow.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And false item boxes, you didn't even need to plant them in item box strips. You could just put them anywhere. You couldn't fucking see them. Nice. Mark says, I am interested in getting into the Harvest Moon series. Where is a good place for me to start? I own pretty much every console that they are on, so that is not an issue. Now, I love the series, and my personal favorite is Friends of Mineral Town on the Game Boy Advance. But a good place to start is probably Harvest Moon 64. It's a bit pricey. You're gonna probably pay, I don't know, if I had to guess, I haven't looked these days, but probably at least $30 for cart only. Friends of Mineral Town is basically Harvest Moon 64, like, on fucking steroids. It's a very similar game, but it's huge. I mean, it's a different town and everything, but it's the same characters, same gameplay, but just so much more content. So I would almost recommend starting with 64 and weaning yourself on that and getting used to the series and then moving on to Friends of Mineral Town. But if you're like, fuck it, I don't need weaning, jump right into Friends of Mineral Town. And you could probably get that one for much cheaper, too. So that's why I have to say on the subject.
I briefly played a Super Nintendo one, so I don't even know.
I have never played Harvest Moon.
Fucking troglodytes.
I think you have to, like, go out of your way to not play a Harvest Moon. And there's, like, 50 of them.
Wow. Logan says, I'm going with 64. Mario Kart 64. I can't take nostalgia glasses off for this one, so it might be just that. I just really liked all the courses and prefer the simpler gameplay compared to the later entries. Fair enough.
Is the gameplay all that different?
I
mean, if anything, I think it's gotten simpler now that you don't have to, like, rock back and forth on the control stick to drift.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think, the courses are much simpler. Like, now you have all kinds of shit going on. You got fucking dinosaurs stomping around and fucking... Yeah. There's a lot more shit going on in the game.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
People who don't know how to fucking park at the fucking mall. Stupid asses.
Just like at the real mall.
No, it is just like at the real mall. No, that probably is pretty true to life. And Matt says, where's your favorite place to see the Game of Year awards? For example, IGN, Nintendo Power, Destructoid. Nowhere.
Spike TV.
TV and Lust.
Cupcake conveyors or something. I don't know what was going on.
Oh, God. I think that's when I turned it off.
Dude, you turned it off like 5 times. Same with me. I kept coming back.
For me, nowhere. Because usually Game of the Year awards are things that are done by a collective, and I don't like that. Like, I don't like game trailers reviews, because they're done by a collective. I don't know who's reviewing this game and what their thoughts on it. I prefer getting to know an individual and knowing how they feel about games and then reading their thoughts. It's usually an outlet-wide thing with these Game of the Year awards, and it's just, I don't know who's contributing what and why. And usually... they don't really represent my feelings on games anyway, so I pretty much tune them out.
I don't know the last time I followed a Game of the Wars thing, so Game of the Year.
What about you, Chris?
I look at some of them when they come out, but I don't really favor one over the other. I don't really care.
I remember I used to like... I used to take IGN's like really seriously back in the day.
I did too, and that's just because I was huge on their forums, you know.
Same.
He's like, I was hot shit.
I think he means he was like big into them.
I spent a lot of time on their forums.
Yep. So did I.
I think you guys are aware of that.
Yeah. No, I think that's pretty much where we all met each other. Is IGN forums. So that's all listener input. Again, facebook.com/StevieandLust. You can get in on that, and you can also check out that Pushmo level, and we occasionally post news and pictures to Facebook as well, so yeah, it's a fun little thing, I guess. games we've been playing lately. Does anyone want to start us off with that?
Craig, you should start.
I will start.
You never start.
I know.
Because I talk a lot during the podcast, and I always feel bad because I feel like I'm sort of imposing myself, and I don't want to...
it's fine, sweetie.
Okay.
Just go for it.
I want to make sure you guys get your input. But I finished Skyward Sword, and... yeah, you know, I had different feelings last episode, but this episode, like, I actually feel like this is probably my least favorite 3D Zelda.
Really?
And overall, probably one of my least favorite Zeldas altogether. You know, the last couple episodes, I was pretty bombastic in my... That's how I am. When I'm in a group setting and I'm talking about things, I get pretty excitable. That's not me all the time, but that's just how I get, and people take it too seriously, and like...
Look at this flip-flopper.
I know, look at this
flip-flopper. Flip-flopping all over the place.
All over the place. You know, when I'm saying motherfucker every, like, three words, clearly I'm not being serious. But no, my feelings were, you know, that it was way too hand-holdy, and, I'm actually, you know, and I called you guys dicks last episode. I said you guys are dicks. But,
did you re-listen to this thing and just, like, feel really bad afterwards, Chris?
I kind of did. Actually, I have also something else to say on that subject, too. You know, I feel bad because, actually, maybe you guys were kind of right. Maybe I am sort of, I don't think I'm overblowing it, like, verbally, because this is how I truly feel about the handholding. I feel like it's terrible. I think it's a terrible idea. I don't like going to a boss door, like the third or fourth boss door I've seen in the game. Like, master, there's a probability. I know, because this is, like, I've done this before. I already did it. I didn't make anything up. Everything I cited was real, and it totally happened. So,
uh-huh.
But I will admit, I will concede that possibly it is affecting me more because... I just wasn't enjoying the game as much as I thought I was. And I think my problem with the game is, and I said something about this on Twitter, is that to me it just doesn't feel like a Zelda game. It doesn't. I mean, I know there's dude dressed in green, I know there's a sword, there's a slingshot, but it actually feels more like a Mario game to me. And I know people are going to say, what? No, you don't jump. But think about all the things you do. Like, there are so few puzzles in this game. And instead, you know, a lot of what you do is based on overcoming obstacles instead. And maybe I'm being sort of picky about the semantics, puzzles or obstacles, but I feel there's a difference. And I feel like the obstacles are much more like a Mario thing. I mean, you're rolling around on boulders, you're crossing tight ropes, you're swinging across chasms, you're climbing vines, you're running up hills and sliding down slopes. I mean, it's all like Mario shit. And I just don't like that in a Zelda game. I mean, when Zelda and Mario were originally in development, they were developed at the same time, and the ideas for the games were specifically put into two separate piles. Like, these are Mario ideas. This is ideas for an action-based, straightforward, linear platformer, and these are Zelda ideas. This is for a game that's slower. It's more about exploration and discovery and figuring things out. And over time, that line is sort of blurred. Mario's become a little more adventurous, and Zelda's become a little more guided, but they sort of stayed in their own respective corners. And I don't feel like Skyward Sword has done that. It's way linear. There really is no sense of discovery. There's almost no exploration. And most of what you do is very action-y. Way more... And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is a good thing or a bad thing. I feel like it's not a good thing. I feel like because... It sort of contradicts the whole reason why the series exists in the first place, was to be different from Mario, and now it's so similar to Mario. But, I mean, I'm not going to hold it against someone for liking it, because it's not technically a bad thing. If anything, I mean, if this is what you like, Nintendo's done a really good job doing it. But I just sort of...
I'm totally into it. I think it's an infusion that Zelda needed, because it's been getting so samey lately.
And that's fine, but I feel like it's not... I wanted to play Zelda. You know, and we don't get very many console Zeldas. We got two this generation, which is like has not happened in a very long time, unless you count Twilight Princess and Wind Waker. But I don't think anyone really does. you know, that has not happened since the NES. We don't get them very often, and I wanted to play a game where I could explore, where I could have that downtime, where I could have a sense of discovery. I don't have it here. Everything's on the fucking path. Everything you do is right in front of you, and I just feel like I'm just fucking, you know, Mario in a Zelda skin. I'm just crossing tightropes. I'm like, I'm running from boulders, and I'm doing all sorts of zany shit. And I understand why you like it. I do. But this is why I was struggling to get comfortable with the game. And I feel like if it was one or the other, I feel like if this was more like Zelda and I had Fi bitching every 20 seconds, I could have dealt with that. Or I could have dealt with the game if it was more like Mario, but someone wasn't bugging me every 20 seconds. I could have dealt with that. But with both of them combined, it just completely put me off. I feel like I'm playing a game that doesn't belong with this name. And I don't want to get too picky. It's a Zelda game. I'm not going to say it's not a Zelda game. I just, it doesn't feel like one to me. And I feel like as I'm trying to enjoy this game that I wasn't expecting and I'm not really sure I like, I have this stupid robot ghost bugging me every 30 seconds. And just
pretend like she's slow, eh? And she forgets why.
And so I can concede that because I wasn't totally into the game, the hand-holding probably affected me more. I was more sensitive to that. So you guys aren't dicks.
I'm still a dick, just not for that reason.
Okay.
Man, Craig, maybe you should have gone last.
Those are pretty much my final thoughts on Skyrim. I thought it did a lot of things right. I mean, I still stand by the fact that I think some of the things you did were really cool and definitely very memorable in the game. But I just feel like it forced you to keep going down the straight line and constantly doing things, and that's never been Zelda. And it's okay that it's changed. I'm not afraid of change, and I think people listen to this podcast, and I think you guys know that I generally embrace change. But I feel like this change almost completely warped why the game existed in the first place. And it's very difficult. So it's very difficult for me to accept, and it's just not for me. You know, it's not an awful game, but it's just not for me.
Yeah, I can see that.
There's a lot of great ideas. I mean, this is why I complain about it so much, because it was just so hard for me to accept that this game that had such awesome ideas, gorgeous graphics, great music, and with Zelda, which is my favorite franchise, isn't for me. It was just really hard to accept. So, but that's where I stand with Skyward Sword. I played Pushmo on the eShop. Definitely download this. I mean, like I said before, Nintendo's really coming around on this. And, you know, people are going to complain, oh, it's $7 and it's not 99 cents. I'm going to get Angry Birds for 99 cents. This isn't Angry Birds. Like, Pushmo is way more robust and way more fun and interesting, I think, than Angry Birds. Angry Birds is fun, don't get me wrong. And I don't regret the dollar I paid for Angry Birds, but I certainly don't regret the $7 I paid for Pushmo either.
And this thing has basically unlimited levels thanks to the user-created level feature. Yeah.
Absolutely, and they're trading by QR codes. Like, you don't need to do anything to get other people's puzzles. Like, you just aim your 3DS, the actual machine that you're using to play the game, just point at someone else's QR code, and you got it.
It takes half a second. Yeah. Like, the reason I bought the game was just because I was browsing some forums, and, like, I saw, like, tons of puzzles that people made, and I was like, holy shit, I want to play those. I want to climb around on Mega Man.
Yeah.
And so I just downloaded it right there.
Yeah. It's called Pool Blocks in PAL territory, so just keep that in mind. But it's a great game, and it's definitely worth the money. I think if Nintendo wants to reach a mass market, $5 is probably best for downloadable games. But I have to admit, their $7 games are totally worth the $7. You know, it's not completely impulse buy like 99 cents or even $5 is, but they're definitely worth the money, so don't...
What's with the character design in this game? Like, why do you play as a colon 3 face guy in a sumo thong?
It's so weird. It's so weird.
I don't know. But it was so addictive, dude. I was... Man, in my head, I was pushing and pulling fucking blocks after I was finished playing. Like, get out of my head, Pushmo!
you don't even know how many times I went, all right, just one more world. One more world.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Like, in my first sitting, I think I played through, like, 6, 7... like worlds, and each world has 16 levels. So.
Yep.
It's 18 levels, I think.
It's a pretty decent sized game unto itself, but then you can create your own levels and very quickly download other people's levels. So, and again, facebook.com/TVUnlist, you can check out Seth's, which is really cool.
Actually, I'm usually not even big on like creating.
Me neither.
But this game, I found it like really fun. Yeah. Because like, I just like drew out my idea, and I was like, "All right, now how the hell do I make this into a puzzle?" And then that was like a game in itself, was like trying to make a puzzle into a puzzle. I don't know; it was really fun though to make. Mm-hmm.
So definitely, really great game in it, and I'm really excited to see what else Nintendo has going for the eShop. You know, like I said, a bit of a premium on price, but I think it's worth it. What else? Obviously, Mario Kart 7. Been playing a lot of that. and I think that's really great. And I love Wiggler. Wiggler is the only character that made me rethink using Yoshi all the time.
Wiggler. Dude, they like ever since the GameCube game, they've gotten really weird with the unlockable characters.
I want them to get weird. Throw some all kinds of crazy shit. I want to play as the fucking mask from Mario 2. I don't care. Put them all in there.
His name is Fanto.
Oh, pardon me.
Duh.
I have a name, you know.
That guy really doesn't want you to take his keys.
But, nah, Mario Kart 7 is excellent. I mean, we already talked about it. So I'm not, you know, but great. Good stuff there. I also bought Sonic Generations for the 3DS.
How's that game, Craig?
It's pretty good. You know, I went to Target, and I had heard that apparently the special Target had Uncharted 3 on sale for $50, which is only $10 off, but, you know, whatever. But if they had any more of the special editions, those were also $50.
What?
My Target didn't have any.
Target doesn't know how to prices work, I think.
No, and they're different between each stores, because I also tweeted, hey, Dream Trigger 3D is $15. It was on clearance at my Target. And then Chris is like, oh, yeah, and what was yours?
Yeah, I saw this.
It was $8 or $9.
Yeah, it was $8-something.
I think clearance varies a lot based on, you know, whatever they need to get rid of or whatever for space, but...
Did you pick that up?
I did. I haven't played it yet, but I did get it.
I picked it up, too, thanks to you, Craig. $14.98 was mine.
Nice. Now, like I said in my review, that game is... It's really tough to get into, but if you stick with it... Like, it's not like other games where it starts easy and then gets harder as you learn it. This game is hard at first while you're learning it, and then once you've learned it, it's all about score attack. It's really good. But I recommend other people check out their Target, see if you can get Dream Trigger on the cheap, because that's a really fun game, really unique.
It was hard just find the clearance section of games at the Target I went to. It was like two rows away from games.
Right, yeah, they used to be like clearly marked. Now they just kind of dump it wherever.
Yeah, they're usually at like at an end shelf.
Yep.
And like facing a dead end, like a TV section maybe, I don't know, somewhere around there. And then they're like not marked and they might be far away. They might be several rows away from the video games.
Yep, so definitely give them a look. But I do recommend that game, and you can check out my review on TeamList.net. Because it is very difficult. It's very difficult to get into, but it's just like learning anything else. Like, video games, like, when you're learning a video game, you're like, okay, now pull the right trigger to shoot. Dream Trigger don't do that shit. So, you have to stick with it. But I went there, and by this point, I'm planning on spending $50. I'm like, man, I got this money brain. I didn't just walk away. Well, they don't have what I want. No, I bought something else. And it was, what was I going to get? I was either going to get Tetris Axis, Sonic Generations on 3DS, both of those on 3DS, or Ratchet & Clank All for One, which is also the same price, so it was like $40. No, actually, Tetris Axis was $30, but Ratchet & Clank All for One was on sale for $40. And I was like, well, I don't have any time to play. I was leaning towards All for One, but the problem is I haven't had any time to play games at home because I haven't been home. I play like when I have a few minutes at work, so I wanted something portable, and I ended up going with Sonic Generations, and it's pretty good. The weird thing is like, It's modern and classic Sonic, but modern Sonic on handhelds is very different from modern Sonic on consoles. And that's what you have here is modern handheld Sonic. So it's like Sonic Rush. So you have like the boost meter and these, you know, dynamic camera angles, but so it's not quite console. But it works, and it's pretty good. I think the console version, though, is better. I think overall I prefer the console version, which is strange because that Sonic hasn't been all about the console versions for some time, but... it's still pretty good. I like it. And there's apparently a multiplayer mode I haven't checked out yet. But
now, let's see. I watched a video for the 3DS game, and the classic levels for, I think, Green Hill Zone and, what is it, Mushroom Hill Zone? Those look like straight, like, remakes of the Genesis levels to me. Is that the case?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that they are. It's tough to discern because they're so busy looking, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, structurally they are the same.
Interesting.
And the 3D looks really good. Especially like when you're playing like I forget what the level's called from Sonic Adventure and you got the whale chasing you. That's pretty cool in 3D.
It's called Impressive Beach Graphic Zone.
Yeah, there you go. But I mean, you still have some cheap deaths and things like that, but I mean, overall I think it's a pretty good Sonic game. And if you were on the fence about it, there you go. It's pretty good.
So, if you're on the fence about it, still be on the fence about it.
I don't know.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Well, I don't know. I mean, I just... What do you want me to say? It's not amazing. It's not. But it's good. So. And that's mostly all I played. I have, like, these stack of games I haven't played yet. I bought, like... I have, like, all the Fatal Frames now and all the Onimushas. I have... I bought Bomberman 64. I used to have it.
But did you get Fatal Frame 4?
I did not.
That game's too scary.
It's so scary.
I like it better. I don't know. Like, I played Fatal Frame 1, but I don't know. I think it is scarier than most other games.
I just have, like, a problem with ghosts. And then, like, the only thing you have to defend yourself is a camera. So it's just like, God.
Yeah. Nope. And it definitely plays up the creepiness. So.
And it's scary. It's, like, super scary.
So I think that's pretty much all I played. I played a little bit of Bomberman 64, and I like that game. That was the first Bomberman I ever played.
Was it?
Yeah, which was very weird.
So did you think like Bomberman was like an adventure game or something?
No. I knew that was a new addition to that. But one thing that did throw me off is the way the explosions behave, because in Bomberman 64 they're 3D. They're like, you know, I don't know, domes or whatever. They're 360 degrees, but whereas in generally speaking in Bomberman they're like cross shaped, and so that was really weird. Like, what are these shitty explosions? So, but man, I had so much fun. I love all like the weird shit in that multiplayer mode. I love getting like disco lights and turning people big. Oh man, that used to be so like making sure like our sister got the big fatty one and everyone is like wobbling. Quick, get her!
I actually never played multiplayer in Bomberman 64. I only did the adventure.
Oh, it's so good. There's so many weird things you can get, like, in multiplayer. Like, there's just, like, these weird skulls. And, like, sometimes I think the gray skulls affected you negatively. But then the black skulls just made weird shit happen, like disco lights. Disco lights was our favorite. Fucking rave. Let's do it. Oh, it's such a cool game. So, I mean, I recommend checking it out. And the adventure mode's pretty fun. It's like a puzzle platformer, only you can't jump. It's really cool, and you gotta build
bomb bridges and bounce across them and stuff.
Yes. And it's definitely very Japanesey, and the music's cool. Like, Dana was like, this sounds like Street Fighter or something. Like,
I can't picture that with Bomberman.
No, hold on. Dun 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 dun. Like, this theme song stuck in my head. Let me get this up.
All right. But
this was one of the earliest like N64 games I ever had, and we played so much of it. Of course, being poor and you don't have too many games.
I don't think there were a lot of games on 64 anyway. That does sound like Street Fighter music.
What'd you say?
I said that does sound like Street Fighter music.
It was funny that Dana noticed that. And it was like, what have I done? I've totally like nerdified this girl. just like
you,
when I was
you
like,
ruined her.
Sex, she sounds like he sounds like Batman. I'm like, how do you pick up on this shit? I don't. Oh man, but yeah, that's about all I played. What about one of you guys?
I finally got to play some Super Mario 3D Land.
Yes.
What'd you think?
It's all right. I don't. What do you mean, no?
It's better than all right.
Is it? I think it's just okay.
It is.
Like, I don't know. I'm like in world 4 or 5. I think I'm in world 5 now, and it's a little simple, I think.
It's... I think the simplicity is the best, man. But those levels are just so, man, those levels are so good.
Are they? Are they, though? They're, like, average. They're, like, okay. They sort of remind me of, like... No, I wasn't big on New Super Mario Bros. Wii levels either. It's sort of like that, but with, like, a better art style. And in 3D-ish.
I liked New Super Mario Bros. Wii. I did not like the DS one. But I think those levels were very different. I think they were.
I want something more like Super Mario World, and this did not deliver.
Okay. I think there's some similarities, actually. I think you can draw some comparisons to 3D Land into.
I know. I think the game's supposed to open up more after like you beat it once or something. I don't know.
There are more levels, and some of them are remixes, and some of them are all new. And then some of them have that fucking dick purple Mario in it. So
I don't know. I think it's like harder to control Mario in this game than others I've played. A lot of times, I find myself like running like very near to running off an edge or something, even though I think I'm not.
The only thing I have is like the squirrely jumps. I think you can definitely get used to that. They're really not that bad, but his jump is a bit, you know.
Yeah.
There's some more effort to reel it in.
Sometimes it's like comes out like this jump like comes out really short when I don't want it to, and sometimes and it's just slow too. It's slow.
You are holding down the run button. I know it's weird having a run button.
I'm holding down the run button.
I know it's kind of bullshit to have a run button with an analog.
You know, I never let go of that run button, and then I'd like long jump all over the place too, but it still feels like slow. So I don't know. It's okay. And the Tanuki feathers, the Tanuki leaves are everywhere. And that's makes like the platforming way too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like in Mario 3 or something. Well, that just doesn't. Mario 3 doesn't even count. I don't know. I'm not. It's all right. It's okay. I'm not going to say it's bad because it's definitely not. I'm enjoying it somewhat, but
I think maybe we made your expectations too high.
I wish it was better.
We may have done that.
I don't know. My expectations weren't even that high either. It's kind of exactly what I expected it to be, is the problem. And I wasn't expecting it to be all that great.
Oh.
Hmm. I didn't go in with huge expectations, and I ended up going way beyond my expectations. So I'm sorry if I built it up for you.
Yeah, it's all your guys' fault, by the way.
I know.
Let's see, I knocked Chris into a pit. That was funny. In Mario Kart 7.
Yes, you did. I was pissed.
Yep. The first time I played Mario Kart 7 online was a few days ago. And I was, like, easily getting first a lot. There weren't that many items, blah, blah, blah. I played online with Chris and a bunch of people on Twitter and from a bunch of different places. And, dude, those matches were, like, brutal. Like, brutal.
They're so chaotic.
Like... I mean, I've played online before, and it was nothing like that. This was just, like, getting my ass handed to me nonstop. Like, I was lucky if I could, like, get in the top three. Crazy people.
And then you keep coming back.
I keep coming back.
Yep. That's what I love about it. Like, even if you do terribly, you know, you still want to play. At least that's how I feel.
I mean, I got last one race and went, that's it, I'm bringing it back. And then I did, and I got hurt. That's actually the race where I screwed Chris over, and he wasn't first. He went to last, I'm pretty sure, right at the like last second.
I hate that, and that is exactly what happened.
It was funny. So I've been playing Pushmo, obviously. The regular puzzle levels are all right, but I love the theme levels, the ones that are like pictures or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the murals or whatever.
Yeah, the mural levels. They actually got stuck on on the elephant mural level for a while. I don't know if any of you have gotten that far. It's in the second mural world, but...
I'm not there yet.
The puzzles aren't always, like, that hard, but they're still really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That's there are some that can stump you, like, momentarily. But what I like about the game is, like, the puzzles are, like... non-linear, where, like, you might have to, like, pull out this one and then that one, but then you have to come around and then push it back in and then pull that one out. Like, yeah. It's not a linear sequence of movements. You might have to undo things you did. But even then, most of them really aren't that hard, but they are very satisfying.
Yeah. I know, Craig, you talked about, like, when you were playing Mario 3D Land, about how you'd go back and just kind of think about how awesome the levels were. That's kind of how Pushmo is for me. Like, after I beat a puzzle, I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, I'm like,
just kind of think about it.
That's definitely really clever. I don't know how they came up with it. But I've been stuck on like levels twice where it actually took me like a good digging around in there to finally figure them out. But otherwise, they haven't been that hard yet. I mean, I'm still not. There's still several worlds to go. I'm sure they get a lot harder towards the end. But it's really fun, and the level creator really fun to mess around with, and just picking up levels with the QR codes is really fun too. So I recommend this game highly. Highly
recommend. I agree.
What else have I been playing? I've been playing Zelda. I haven't beat it. I got a slow start compared to you guys. I'm up to dungeon. I beat the fifth dungeon.
And I really like the fifth dungeon.
The fifth dungeon's cool. The lead up to the boss in the fifth dungeon is cool.
Yeah.
The boss fight itself is okay, but dungeon four, I'm pretty sure it's dungeon four. The dungeon four boss was awesome. I loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
I think dungeon four boss might be like the best. But I mean, I like some of the ideas. Like, I like, is it the second one? Like, I just like that that one's a bit different. Like, it's not that hard. Like, the second boss wasn't really that hard or anything, but it was just kind of neat that it was something a bit different.
Actually, a lot of the boss fights are, like, really different. I think the boss fights might be one of the best things about this new Zelda game.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Really breaking the mold on them. What else? Also, this Zelda game, I think, might be, like, the first Zelda game with a choice that you can make that has different outcomes that you can't change.
I think, like, you're right.
It's really, like, small and minuscule, and you get the reward you get is still the same, but the outcome is still different. And I had to play through twice to, like, figure out which one I wanted. It's hard to explain.
I just did it once, and I was good.
Without being spoilery.
Yeah. No, I know, but... Nah, I really don't care. So
it's just a little. It's just a little side quest that I found amusing.
We're at the end of the podcast. I mean, if we want to talk about spoilers, can we just say for people to stop listening?
I would rather give it some time. It's a pretty big game, and I mean, I'm sure people are still playing through it. Generally speaking, I mean, spoilers, I have mixed feelings about them, but Zelda's just one of those games where people get very, like, feverish about spoilers, so...
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I just figured if we wanted to discuss it, I mean, we could say just... I mean, since we're at the end of the podcast, people could just turn it off early.
Chris is a self-loathing motherfucker because he hasn't even talked about his games. He's like, what?
I don't really have anything to talk about.
I have to say, fucking Eeyore over here.
No, I don't have much to say. I mean, the games I've played, you guys have already talked about, and my feelings are pretty similar. So,
now maybe we'll talk. I just want to point out that I would hate if, like, an entire Zelda game was like this. Because, I mean, just making this minuscule, tiny decision, like, is hard for me. So if I had to, like, play through an entire game where I had all these different decisions to make, I would be out. I hate decision-making in games. Like, if it's, like, you know, like, from a menu or something. Like if I have to decide, oh, should I go here first or there first? That's different. That's fun. But if it's, like, I don't know, if it's part of the story or whatever, I can't do it. So, no decision-making in my Zelda games, please. What else did I play? I think I talked about everything else I played, like, in previous weeks. So, more King of Fighters, more Dead Island. So, I think that's it, yeah.
I finished Zelda. I really enjoyed it. I don't think it's the best ever, but I don't think it's the worst ever either. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, Craig.
Yeah.
Worst ever, Craig.
You know, I would actually put this even below, like, Twilight Princess.
Really?
No, shut up.
Totally.
I was thinking about it the other day, because I think I read somewhere there was a thread that was like, what's your least favorite Zelda games? And I think Twilight Princess is probably in the very bottom for me.
It's
toward the bottom.
Right. I think Zelda 2 is probably my least favorite. I still like Zelda 2, don't get me wrong, but Zelda 2 is totally like what, yeah.
Yeah, you can't hate on Zelda 2 in front of Chris, Craig, you know that.
I know he likes it, but I don't hate it. I don't really have too many bad things to say about it, except for some of the parts are overly difficult. But yeah, I think I would say, like, Zelda 2 is probably, like, one of my least favorites, and, you know, Twilight Princess down there. The DS games, like, I don't even know where to put those, because I'm actually, like, more indifferent to those, and I actually have, like, an active opinion about them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wouldn't even put them in the list. But definitely down there is, like, Zelda 2, Twilight Princess, and Skyward Sword. They're all down there.
Yeah. There aren't really any Zelda games that I don't like, but, I mean, Spirit Tracks and Twilight Princess are pretty low for me. Mm. But what I kind of like about the Zelda series is that, or at least I find interesting, is that so many people value, like, different things, you know? So, like, my personal favorite is Wind Waker. I think everybody knows that. But, I mean, a lot of people completely hate that game. You know? Uh-huh. And a lot of people say, you know, Ocarina of Time is the best game of all time or whatever, and I'm kind of not indifferent, but I'm not nearly as big a fan as most people are. I think that that game has been surpassed several times over.
And then there's a few people who say Link's Awakening is the best, and they're right. So.
It's pretty high up there.
Just Seth, he's the only one.
There's a few. And I always feel like a solidarity with those.
There are a few, and we call that a support group.
Wind Waker. I mean, Link's Awakening is the best. I don't know how anybody can't see that. I think it's the most emotionally touching in the series.
Nah,
Majora's Mask. Majora's Mask is my second fave. So,
okay, then I can let it slide.
All right, Wind Waker's up there too.
Wind Waker rules.
Wind Waker is my favorite.
I still think Majora's Mask is like the greatest like game of all time. Like I can't even get over how awesome that game is. And I want a remake, not just because it's my favorite game, so I can play it so it's not like all blurry and shit.
Four dungeons? That's not a Zelda game, Craig.
But they're really awesome dungeons.
They're really awesome.
I know. They are.
See, like that's the thing. Like with Skyward Sword, you know, and, you know, they shake up the conventions, and, like, that's okay. Like, that's generally a good thing. Even if it doesn't, like, meet my taste, it's a good thing that they did that, because obviously a lot of other people do like it.
Yeah.
I just don't think it I think you can, when you make a game and you put like a franchise name on it, you kind of have to fit certain conventions. And I think when you remove something like exploration and that sense of discovery and that openness, you've removed a lot of what makes Zelda Zelda. Like, I'm not going to say that's the most important part, but I think it's an important part.
But and, you can understand that the people who dislike Majora's Mask because they're like, oh, time limits and mm-hmm. nothing but side quests yeah. and only four dungeons.
Right. I mean, I can understand that. I do. I think, though, those things, I mean, the time limit is so, doesn't even really affect anything.
I always try to explain this to people and nobody listens to me.
Is it just more like, for you, or is it more like just the fact that it's fair?
No, I don't mind the time limit at all.
Oh.
I think the time limit adds to it.
Yeah,
I think it does,
I mean,
too.
When I read people complain about the time limit,
Well, right. I think they're entitled to their opinions. I just think it, like, I think most people are just annoyed by it because it's there, like, because they feel like they're being pressured. Not that they really are. Because you play the Inverted Song of Time, and fuck, man, just fucking go and go fishing. It doesn't even, you know, there's, it's not even really that strict once you play that song. But I think for some people, it's a mental thing, the fact that the time limit is there.
And repeating the whole 3-day cycle, that's like the whole point of the game. That's where the feel of the game comes from, I think, a lot of it, is to see how you change things throughout those 3 days.
No, I agree. But I think Majora's Mask is a good way to shake up Zelda conventions while still adhering to the sorts of things. Like, I think it is possible to shake up Zelda and still retain some of the classic formula. I just don't... I think Skyward Sword went a bit too far. That's my personal take. Obviously, you know, you guys feel differently, and I'm sure other listeners feel differently, but I think it went a bit too far in trying to be too different. But
yeah. I enjoy Skyward Sword, but I think my biggest problem with the game is, like you say, the lack of exploration, you know, the lack of discovery. So, I mean, if that stuff was in there, it would probably be very high on my list, but...
Oh, yeah, I mean, if this was a less... I could totally put up with 5, then, if this was a less linear game, but... You know, I can't do both. It was either one or the other, and I think both those two things just didn't work with me.
Dude, why does Fly's face look so scary when she sings? That is just awful looking. I don't know what they were thinking with that.
She's sort of terrifying in general.
Should not have given her teeth when she goes there. It's just like all teeth. She just like sings. It's just teeth everywhere.
She doesn't sound great when she sings either.
Because it's auto-tuned.
Let's see. I finished Zelda. I played some Mario Kart 7 and hated Seth. And then I beat Seth's ass and I was happy.
Yeah.
And I played Pushmo, which we already talked about, and it's awesome, and everybody should buy it.
Everyone should buy it.
Everyone should, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially if you're into sumo thongs.
I'm into them. I'm in one right now.
That's why I bought the game.
So is that it? Is that everything?
That is it, yeah.
Cool. There's one thing I wanted to say. I was listening to last episode's podcast, and, I got a little excitable about people being entitled and the whole GameStop rant. My opinion hasn't changed. I still think it's a really weird thing to get all worked up over these stickers and make it sound like this, you know, this crusading cause you're on. But no one complained, but I was listening, I'm like, wow, I kind of sound like a jerk. So if anyone was upset by that, my opinion's the same. Don't get me wrong. I still think that's super dumb, but I know most people, if not everybody, knew it was just me being, you know, goofy, but I, you know, if anyone took it the wrong way, I apologize.
God, look at this guy.
Well,
just gets angry at everything. He even gets angry at himself.
I don't know. I'm way more easygoing than, you know, than things like that would indicate. I'm just goofing off because to me that kind of stuff is funny, and I assume it's funny to people. But it's not funny to everyone, so so if anyone was offended, I apologize. But if not, fuck you. Anyway, we'll wrap up this episode. You guys have anything you'd like to add?
No, sir.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Oh, well.
Oh, this guy.
You're back on the dick list. I want to thank everyone for listening. And until next time, you guys take it easy.